Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Try BA-65433 Moscow.
Yes, sir.
You would never have found him through his office, Mr. President. Our premier is a man of the people, but he is also a man, if you follow my meaning.
What did you say?
I said Premier Kissov is a degenerate atheist.
Mr. President, I formally request that you have a dignum.
I'm sorry,
Mr. President. I think they're trying the number.
You can't fight in here. This is a war room.
Can I ask you something?
Sure thing. Shoot, Timmy.
Danny.
Danny. You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. Danny, this is in Russia. Is this Russia? This isn't Russia, is it?
Nah.
I didn't think so.
U.S. Strategic Command and General Bolshevsky, Russian intelligence.
Russian intelligence? Are you mad?
A lot's happened since you were frozen. The Cold War's over.
Well, finally those capitalist pigs will pay for their crimes, eh? Hey, comrade? Hey?
Austin, we won.
Oh, groovy, smashing. Yay, capitalism. Hello. Hello.
This isn't Russia. Is this Russia? Good evening to free America from enemy-occupied USSA. You are live with Tex and Rex, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from Red Square, right in the heart of the Imperial City, where the Wacko Bird Coalition is storming the American Politburo.
And I'm broadcasting from Radio Free Texas, home to 5 of the top 10 fastest growing cities in the United States as people slowly flee the rest of the country to come here where there's jobs and low taxes and a glimmer of hope anyway. So, wow, what a week. What's with all these scandals? Holy crow. Like, everything's a scandal now. Like, every day. It's the panels are flying off the car while it's driving down the highway.
It's a constellation of scandals.
Exactly. This isn't fixable. There's too much stuff going on. Now, the only thing that fixes it is the general apathy of the American people and their ability to just sort of tune out and say, oh, well, I always figured they were all corrupt anyway, and then just go about their business and go about their lives and say, well, you know, so what, they're reading my text, emails, chats, whatever the heck it is. Figuring out who I'm calling, but all they're finding out is, you know, who's picking up the kids today, what I ate for breakfast, so screw them. But I'd say it's a bigger deal than that.
Yeah, it's a much bigger deal than that. If that's the attitude people are taking, then, you know, screw them. That's a stupid attitude.
Exactly. Well, you know, look, so if you have, if they have access to everything that you're typing and doing online, which, you know, I've sort of suspected for a while, you know, essentially I guess they're copying the raw internet and they're just making images of what's happening on the entire internet all the time and monitoring communications and that sort of thing, then they have everything. But, you know, so everybody says, well, you know, I'm not doing anything, so it doesn't really matter to me. But, you know, later on, someone out there who's not doing anything may at some point say, hey, I want to, you know, I think the country's going in the wrong direction. I want to run for office or something. Well, if you're not one of their proved toadies, all of a sudden all this information about you is at the government's disposal and they'll use it to destroy you. And they've already done this, but they did this to a certain extent during the 2012 election where they were going after people who were donating to Romney and other Republican groups, and then they're denying 501c status to conservative groups, and they're going after you based on all this information that they're finding out about you. So they can use it. You don't have to be doing anything. If you're a political opponent, that's enough. That's doing something. And so you can be targeted and shut down and then, you know, sort of driven out of the public discourse. Look at the Koch brothers, how much, you know, negative media exposure they've been getting just because they're in the opposition. So this kind of stuff, it's not really to be taken lightly, you know. And the problem is we're getting assurances that, well, it's only if it's foreign communications. There's only a 51% chance, which is a greater than 50-50 chance, that we're capturing private Americans' information. We're not listening in on your phone calls yet. None of this sounds very reassuring to me. And I think
it's a non-assuring assurance.
Yes. Don't worry. We have safeguards in place that will protect you. But we're not going to tell you what those safeguards are. Okay, well, I don't believe there's safeguards in place if you can't tell me what they are. I mean, this actually was a problem with the Department of Justice and the FISA courts when they were talking about approving this thing. There was a group whose name all of a sudden escapes me. The ACLU was involved, but it was a different group. Anyway, they were trying to FOIA anyone who said that any records indicating that someone thought or there was a legal opinion that said that this was illegal. And the Justice Department said that, well, we can't provide that because it's under the purview of the FISA court. And you have to go talk to FISA. So they went to FISA and they said, hey, we want to get this information. FISA said, well, you know, hey, wait a minute, we're a secret court. You know, we don't really release all that kind of stuff. And if it were released, you need to take it up with the Justice Department. Okay, so the Justice Department tells you to go talk to FISA, and FISA tells you to go talk to the Justice Department. All of a sudden, nobody has the answer. Nobody knows what the legal. Yeah, nobody knows who has the legal authority to tell the American people under the Freedom of Information Act what in the hell is going on.
No one has legal.
Problematic, to say the least.
Yeah, it's far worse than problematic. It's out and out dangerous. We got a lot to cover. We don't have a lot of time. It's 2 hours. So just want to bring everybody up to speed out there in radio land. Go to our Facebook page, the Tex and Rex Show, and like the page, and you will receive notifications when we are broadcasting and other affiliated information with the show, including clips we play and articles that we reference. Also, you can join our Liberty Militia on Facebook as well. And if you're in Blog Talk Radio right now, whether you're listening in archive or you are listening live, right below the show graphics, you can click the follow button and you will get notifications in your Blog Talk Radio profile. And right under the graphics, there is a link that says download show. If you right-click on that, you can download an MP3 and save it to your MP3 device or email it to people or burn a CD and give it to people, because you've got to get this information out there, because most of the spin that's coming down the pike from the mainstream media and even the so-called alternate media and so-called conservative talk radio is not you know, some of them are addressing this, very few of them are addressing it appropriately, but we have a constellation of scandals, and it is just, it seems overwhelming, and it can be very, very psychologically numbing, mind-numbing, which is the way this is intended to be. Don't think that they released all these scandals at the same time, you know, unintentionally. This is intentional. Now, the good news is that it's probably spinning out of their control. And as long as you don't give up and you don't become apathetic and you get others involved, we can reverse this. Just keep in mind, this has been coming for over 100 years. You are not reversing it in 60 seconds in the speed of a tweet or even a 30-minute sitcom. It's going to take time and it's going to take effort, so get busy. The biggest problem is I see it, Tex. All these things point to one thing to me. It is revealing the problem that authentic conservatives, which I have to say for the most part have not been Republicans, or maybe they are, you know, rank and file Republicans, but the Republican leadership is certainly not authentically conservative. The problem is that government, federal government, has gotten far too big to be managed, far too big to not be able to identify the corruption quickly, far too big to not be intrusive into every aspect of your life. And this didn't happen by accident. This is intentional. And if you think about it, you know, the title of the show, Back in the USSR. Well, are we the USSR? I mean, if you look over at Russia right now, they have a thriving Christianity. They are a stable, logical force on the world stage. And we are agitating for wars everywhere, which we'll get to in the second hour. But you got to ask yourself right here at home, are we the America that our founders gave us? Not just legally, structurally, is the Constitution still valid? Are we as Americans? Because I will argue that even so-called libertarians or conservatives are, in fact, embracing communism subconsciously, maybe unwittingly, but in many aspects of their lives and not doing anything to stop it.
Yeah, well, I would say people are doing that, definitely, but also it's not like Russia's out there being some kind of force for good. Yes, Christianity has sprung back in the absence of communism. It never really went away there. It just went underground. But Russia's no, you know, good actor out there.
But compared to what we're doing, you know, that's the scary part. It's almost like a role reversal over the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Who are we?
I mean, we have the capability to do things that they can only dream of. You know, we've come a long way from, you know, gentlemen don't read each other's mail to gentlemen monitor everything every other gentleman does and who he's talking to and when and for how long. You know, of course, some of this comes down to what the American people ask for, or the quote American people, we were told they asked for this. It's, oh, we want security above all else. Well, you know, maybe you should be letting... Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be letting people into the country who don't like the country, you know, in the first place.
What?
Maybe we could start there. You know, then we wouldn't have to have every conversation on planet Earth that we engage in monitored and how long we talk to who, you know. Maybe you could stop this thing before it gets in the door.
Wait, so you're saying that you think that if we have actual border security and the federal government does its actual responsibility of protecting the border, we wouldn't have to spy on everybody? Oh, by the way, for the NSA dickheads that are listening, sometimes Blog Talk Radio is a pretty crappy technology, and I have a little bit of trouble downloading the show. So if you guys could send me a link of the one you've downloaded, that would be really appreciated. And I'm sure you know my email address, so I don't have to really tell it out loud. So, you know, thanks for keeping an eye on things, guys. Speaking of people who keep an eye on things, we are joined by someone who is running a group that is supposed to be engaging in coalition building, which is what all of you are supposed to be engaged in, because if you're not building coalitions, even with people you're sort of uncomfortable with, and banding together to stop tyranny, you might as well just lay down now and become a happy little slave. Chris, you're live with Tex and Rex.
Gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going,
Chris? Guys, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. You know, what a couple weeks. I mean, one scandal would have been enough. We can't even stay focused on the important ones. Hell, the Afghani soldiers that keep getting killed, you know, in Afghanistan, from the, you know, special forces guys to these last three guys that were invited to a, you know, to a dinner and then killed. And, you know, and I mean, that there's a whole scandal over there that's not even getting covered. You know, it just doesn't end. The IRS,
it's too much to cover.
And well, it's just so much, all, you know, one right after the other. And this last one, you know, with the NSA thing, that was, you know, I was racing to catch up on that. I'm sure like everybody just going, holy crap, you know, what now? And then today, you know, the guy behind it, you know, we saw his interview.
Yes, no,
you know, over
there's
there.
There's more to come, I'm
over
sure.
Over there. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
In one sense, you have this guy who works for the NSA who's like, well, you know, I don't want to live in a country that does these sort of things, so I've taken it upon myself to, you know, expose this kind of stuff, and I'm, you know, protected by the ghosts of Daniel Ellsberg and others, you know, and I'm walking in their footsteps. But, you know, who knows what else is going on? I mean, so you have, you know, recording of, you know, and one thing I want to make clear is, you know, right now the discussion is about Verizon, but believe me, the government didn't just work with Verizon. They're working with AT&T and Sprint and all those other guys, too. So it's all of a piece.
Well, the internet in general.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're sweeping up the internet in raw form is what's going on. And as it's happening, they're collecting the information. So all of it is out there, and all of it's being made available. But just recording the people that you talk to, who's calling your cell phone, who's talking to who for how long, that type of information, you know, maybe that's just the tip of the iceberg. Maybe there's even more to it. You never really know. So it was big enough that this guy decides to go ahead and stick his neck out and say, all right, well, you know, I, like a conscientious objector, I, you know, reject this action on the part of the government, and I'm exposing it so the American people can talk about it. It was like the people who were talking about the practice of rendition, right? And they were making movies about it and all this other kind of stuff, you know, glorifying it and everything. So here we have this person who seems to have chosen a bizarre place to try to hide out. He's in Hong Kong. I guess he thought that he would be safe there. I don't know. He didn't seem to have done a lot of research on good places to hide out, you know, where extradition laws might be the strongest to protect him. But I don't know. I guess
he's got access to all the information, so.
Yeah, exactly.
He might know more than we do, you know what I mean? He's seen inside the honeycomb.
Yeah,
well,
actually,
remember that he also said, he has more information, but he chose not to put any human beings at risk or to expose things that would harm people. You know, he's a little bit different than.
You want to hear what he has to say? Because I got two and a half minutes of his interview, which I mean, we'll play the whole thing, but it's 12 minutes.
It was pretty good. It was well,
sure,
very,
yeah.
Very level-headed.
All right. This is Edward Snowden being interviewed in Hong Kong, and this is the full clip is on the Tex and Rex Show page, and also in Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia. So check it out, and also on Coalition of Freedom. But here's the last 2.5 minutes, Edward Snowden, kind of explaining, you know, why he did this.
If your motive had been to harm the United States and help its enemies, or if your motive had been personal material gain, were there things that you could have done with these documents to advance those goals that you didn't end up doing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anybody in the positions of access with the technical capabilities that I had could, you know, suck out secrets, pass them on the open market to Russia. You know, they always have an open door, as we do. I had access to, you know, the full rosters of everyone working at the NSA, the entire intelligence community, and undercover assets all around the world, the locations of every station we have, what their missions are, and so forth. If I had just wanted to harm the U.S., you know, that you could shut down the surveillance system in an afternoon, but that's not my intention. And I think for anyone making that argument, they need to think, if they were in my position, and you know, you live a privileged life, you're living in Hawaii, in paradise, and making a ton of money, what would it take to make you leave everything behind? The greatest fear that I have regarding the outcome for America of these disclosures is that nothing will change. People will see in the media all of these disclosures. They'll know the length that the government is going to grant themselves powers unilaterally to create greater control over American society and global society. But they won't be willing to take the risks necessarily to stand up and fight to change things, to force their representatives to actually take a stand in their interests. And the months ahead, the years ahead, it's only going to get worse until eventually there will be a time where policies will change, because the only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. Even our agreements with other sovereign governments, we consider that to be a stipulation of policy rather than a stipulation of law. And because of that, a new leader will be elected. They'll flip the switch, say that because of the crisis, because of the dangers that we face in the world, you know, some new and unpredicted threat, we need more authority. We need more power. And there will be nothing the people can do at that point to oppose it. And it'll be turnkey tyranny.
Turnkey tyranny. I mean, he's looking at things through an interesting prism. Tex, we'll go to you first and then Chris.
Well, it's kind of interesting. He says, you know, he's releasing this so that people can decide, but he's concerned that the overwhelming apathy of the American people will prevent anything from happening, and then it becomes basically turnkey tyranny. So, you know, I guess he's hoping for a miracle here. You know, my concern would be about the apathy factor, because, I mean, you already see it when you're talking to people, like, oh, yeah, well, we knew this type of thing was going on. Well, it's not really whether you knew it was going on or you suspected it was going on or not. It's whether it's legal or not, or whether it should be legal. I mean, how much authority are you transferring over to the federal government? They know all your sources of income, where your money comes from, how much money you're making, and from whom. Now they know who you're talking to and for how long. They've got the text of all your emails and your chats. You know, a long time ago, it's like Google Chrome. Why would anybody be using Chrome? I'm like, they're just turning this shit straight over to the NSA and like, oh, you're being paranoid. No, it's fucking right about that. Yeah, it's just going straight over. Of course, the thing is, Firefox are probably doing the same thing, you know.
Actually, I don't think Firefox, because it's open source, had an argument with them about this sort of thing, and in fact, kind of changed some of their parameters. And if you've noticed, I don't know if anybody uses Firefox, but if you've noticed, certain websites no longer function through Firefox, and they
yes,
tend to
exactly.
be, generally speaking, financial websites and other types of sites that they want that information from. So, you know, keep watching for things like Firefox or other independent open source programs to be marginalized by Windows and Chrome and Facebook and all this other crap. And, you know, keep in mind, Facebook's
it's
pretty much a CIA-run operation. Yeah, and Google is monitoring everything you got. You're using the cloud for your calendar, your contacts. They've got everything. And, you know,
and
if you're running Windows.
And with Facebook, you get to provide daily updates to your own CIA file.
Yeah, exactly. It's very cool. So you actually can manage your own CIA file and put in fake information there if you want, so that, you know,
or
you can either make yourself more of a terrorist or less of a terrorist. And then, of course, you know, Windows is pretty much, you know, updating the programs, the you know, has upgraded in the last few, you know, versions of Windows that generally suck, pretty much backdoor that they can get in no matter what. You know, I suspect Apple's the same, although Apple tends to be kind of a bougie Starbucks Hollywood type of program. Most of us common people use Windows.
Apple just has better PR. But they're not, oh, Apple, oh, we're Apple, so we're not going to go along. No, that's not the case. They went up and like, here's the deal. Yeah, you're doing this.
They're
and
as corporate as they get.
Yeah, all these companies came out and they denied it. Oh, this didn't happen at Facebook. You know, Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, all these other bulls. You know, oh, we're not doing that. Well, you know why? Because in order to to get involved in that, they got to get cleared too, right? And then once you get cleared, now you got to shut the hell up. So they can't go out and expose what's going on, because then they're screwed under the Espionage Act too. So they just say, whatever. They don't know anything about it. I don't know. American people. I'm Zuckerberg. I'm a billionaire. I don't give a shit anymore. Whatever.
I'm CEO, bitch.
That's right. Exactly. That's pretty much the thinking. And so it's up to what Tony Hayward called the small people. It's up to the small people to, you know, sort of do something with this, pick up the pieces and try to say, you know, hey, this is some serious bullshit here, and try to roll this back. But how do you do it when you have the current crop in Washington? It's really difficult.
Well, and, it starts with your attitude, your own attitude. If you're, you know, people are just going to be, the whole intention of this, all the dumping of the scandals all at once is to overwhelm you so that you're like, it's too much, I can't do anything about it, I'll just bitch at the TV. You know, that's the intention. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it with people who are otherwise liberty-loving patriots, you know, Ron Paul Liberty Movement people, Tea Party people are just like, you know, I don't know, man, the whole thing sucks, I don't know what to do.
I don't know. I think the dumping of massive numbers of scandals at once, I mean, to the extent that, let's say that it's part of an orchestrated campaign by someone or some group, whatever.
Anonymous.
That there's an intelligence behind it somehow, not intelligence in the sense of like political foreign intelligence or something, but some sort of mind behind this. It's not just a random series of events that happen to be happening all at once, a coincidence that would be called. Then perhaps the thought was, well, if you do it one by one, individually people hear about it and they process it really fast and they dismiss it, right?
Right.
And then when the next one comes up, they process it really fast and they dismiss it. If you overwhelm the psyche with the sheer volume of these things and they get bigger and bigger and bigger, eventually people are like, holy shit, you know, like at a certain point it's so big you can't dismiss it anymore. And so maybe that's what's going on, rather than, hey, we'll just drown all these big ones under the weight of all the little smaller ones, and we'll be able to get away with more.
Well,
which
I think
are the smaller?
Tax, I think also what happens is each one of these, we all have our pet scandal, or two, or three. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you know, whether a lot of people were not buying into the Benghazi thing, even though that's an extremely important issue, you know, that is one of the smaller on the radar scope for the average human being. The IRS thing, you know, was over the top, and it touches everybody and sparked a large conversation. Now the snooping thing, now these younger generation, you know, Luke, my son, is always saying, you know, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, who cares? It's like that idiot Bowling. I don't care if they know what my calls are. And I'm like going, well, you don't understand freedom at all then, and you shouldn't even be speaking in front of a camera. You know, the point is, and like I said, Luke is,
yeah,
you know,
you're not doing anything
younger
wrong now. Wait,
yeah,
till they,
well, you know
what you're doing is wrong.
Well,
right,
what about
change the rules? And like, oh, now that's
about,
wrong. Now,
what about they just have a whole profile text and they just go in and they just build a profile, take bits and pieces of your reality, you know, and twist it and build a different profile and then use that against you? You don't even have to be doing anything wrong. You know, that's the thing that people don't understand. They get so much data on your behavior, your psyche, what you write. You know, they can figure your whole psych profile out. And so they're already to get up on
100%.
Yeah, and they can just
write about that. Once they decide they don't like you, they have enough.
They can just create
you.
Yeah, they can just create a different you and then just destroy you because you can't recover. Nobody has enough money, time, and energy.
This is what I was saying.
Look at what happened to Sandra Bullock in The Net. They turned her into Ruth Marks and set up a whole, you know, rap sheet and got her arrested.
Well, look at the other movie.
Look at Will Smith
and
Enemy of the State. These are just movies, but that's the way it plays out.
Well,
I want to destroy this guy.
As I was saying, Bush was president, right? The president has cameras on him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, essentially, right? And the idea there is to make sure he's safe in case something ever happens. They'll have a record, and they'll be able to go back and figure out, you know, what the hell happened. So basically, he's almost always, I mean, I would assume he's always being filmed, right? Okay, well,
how come they never know where Obama is?
Yeah, well, who knows?
He's on a golf course.
But in the course of a day, you do all sorts of things that can make you look like a genius or make you look like an idiot, you know?
You bet.
You fart, you
They're
pick your nose.
The same thing.
You
that's your ass.
You stammer. You start a sentence, and then you say the wrong word, and then you correct yourself, right? Well, so through, you know, when George Bush was president, all you saw were the blooper reels all the time, him starting a sentence and saying the wrong thing. Now, I'm not saying he's, like, the brightest guy in the world or anything. I'm just saying you can go through and selectively edit what you want out of it. Or you can go through and do like Obama and make him look like, oh, he's the biggest genius in the world, right? Well, it's the same thing with your communications. If they have access to all of that, they'll just go selectively create whoever the hell they want you to be that day and expose that to the media. And then you're left trying to establish context. And guess what? Nobody cares. Because the media will tell you who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yep. At the speed of Twitter. And that's
well,
the
and
problem.
Your neighbors are not going to care at all because you know what? They're so busy being distracted and watching TV and going about their lives and saying, oh, who gives a shit, you know? Sounds like he was doing something wrong.
Yeah, that racist son of a bitch.
Yeah, or whatever they want
to ask anybody. Ask anybody who's ever had Child Protective Services called on them falsely, you know, by a pissed off neighbor or ex-girlfriend or ex-wife, you know, and the how fast that mechanism can come into your life and destroy your life, whether or not you're guilty or not, you know. And this is the thing that people don't understand, and is that this system was never designed to where you had to spend your life looking over your damn shoulder, wondering who your neighbor is, wondering what's being said about you, or wondering what information they have and when they want to, you know, go out and twist you into a knot. That is not
this,
America.
This scam prevents you from ever being Tenzing Norgay. You will always be Edmund Hillary. And some of us don't want that kind of notoriety, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
T-Rex, who's Tenzing Norgay? That's the point. You don't know who Tenzing Norgay is. You only know Sir Edmund Hillary, the first guy to scale Mount Everest. He didn't do it alone. Tenzing's the other guy. If you want to be the other guy and not, you know, be plastered everywhere, those days are over. They know everything about you. They've known it for a long time. This isn't an Obama thing. You know, like keep in mind, Obama's the current puppet. He's probably an incompetent puppet, but he's got some very competent people around him, like Iranian-born commie psycho Valerie Jarrett. And I'm sure she just heard that. So, yes, I do think you're a psycho. What are you going to do about it? Come after me? Come on, bring it on. And so, you know, basically all he's been able to sit at the helm of is taking all the crap that Bush did and Clinton did and Bush did and put it on steroids. That's how this happens. It's incrementalism. We're hearing about these scandals now, like, oh, how dare they read my email? They've been reading your email. So, you know, realize that it's taken damn near over 100 years to get you to this point where the USA has become the USSR, and you don't even notice it because you're the boiling frog. It's been happening so long that you are living in a country with all 10 fucking planks of communism implemented under cover of statutory law, even though they're in violation of the Constitution, and you're not even aware of it. That's
the
problem.
The final,
change
you know
your
the,
perspective.
You know what the final mechanism is, Rex, for that communism?
That's the pressure from below and the pressure from above.
Obamacare.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Obamacare is designed to fail and be a precursor to something else, but it's not one thing. You got the immigration thing that the Republicans seem to have a hard on for. Mm-hmm. You got Obamacare coming online fully in a few months, and actually for religious institutions, you're about to get nailed August 1st for not violating your conscience against the preborn who have a right guaranteed in the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. If you don't put that in your health care plan, they're coming after you. The fines are like $100 a day per person per day, so it'll add up to the millions and cripple, you know, Christian and Catholic hospitals, Christian employers, Hobby Lobby, all these places are just going to get crippled, hammered, taken over by the government. And that's part of the plan because, you know, guess what? Maybe you're not familiar with this, guys, but you know, I know you guys are. Let's just tell the audience, what are the 10 planks of communism? Does anybody know how to name them? And if you do, you'll win a prize. The prize will be that you'll be live on the air with Tex and Rex. Just call in, 646-649-1013. But the first plank is the abolition of property in the application of all rents of land to public purposes. Ooh, what does that mean, Rex? Oh, sort of like eminent domain, zoning laws, EPA, endangered spotted owl regulations, Clean Waters Act, which you don't even have to have water on your property to be in violation. Other people have gone to jail for this. If you want more details on it, check out Rand Paul's book, Government Bullies. It has some frightening stories. You'll just ask yourself, what country do you think this is? You know, that's the first plank. The second plank is a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. Oh, you got one of those in 1913, and this bullying that the IRS has been doing to the Tea Party, you really think it's a big deal? Every administration since 1913 has done it. The only answer is abolish the damn thing, not reform it, retool it, investigate, fire somebody. I don't get rid of it. Third plank, abolition of all rights of inheritance. Ooh, that's state taxation right there, buddy. They'll take the farm away from your family. Fourth plank is confiscation of the property of all emigrants and rebels. Now, the interesting thing about the word rebels, guys,
ex-migrants.
I'm not talking. Yeah, what's that?
Just for those listening, it's ex-migrants, people moving out, not people moving in. Not in-migrants, but ex-migrants.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Rebels, right? Interesting word. We've been hearing a lot, you know, the Syrian rebels. The funny thing is that the way government uses the word, rebel is the label they play when we have someone who's definitely up to no good somewhere else that suits their purposes in order to make them seem like the underdog. But rebels, when applied to people who are genuinely enemies of the state, means that they can name anybody a rebel because, oh, I don't know, you have a Ron Paul sticker on your car. You don't like the Federal Reserve. You think the income tax is illegal. You don't want your email read by no such agency. They could label you a rebel. And these days, of course, with indefinite detention provisions, they could take you away. Of course, I don't know that they actually do that because we have a known collaborator in Washington, D.C. His name's Senator Jane McHammed, and, you know, they haven't detained him, so I don't know. But that's the fourth plank. So we already got all four of those. Fifth plank is centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank. You know, not First National Bank, American National Bank. It's the Federal Reserve scheme is the one that controls all the money, and it's a private, foreign-owned thing. Yeah, so you got one of those, right? Centralization of the means of communications and transportation in the hands of the state. FCC, TSA, FCC, Highway Commission, all these departments, they control movement. They can shut down. You notice, like, when there's a hurricane, how they, like, you know, change all the roads, get everybody evacuated out and all that kind of stuff? Well, that's important because you need to do that. But that same mechanism also gives them the ability to limit your transportation. And if you can't move, you're not free. That's what a prisoner is. And, of course, you know, as far as communications go, now we know that the NSA, which is, you know, based not too far from where I'm standing, it's at Fort Meade, Maryland, where, interestingly enough, Bradley Manning is right now on trial, and I suspect that Mr. Snowden will find his way back to NSA headquarters at Fort Manning. Now, here's the interesting thing. Baltimore Gas and Electric can't support how much power NSA is sucking over there in Baltimore, but they found a solution. They've built the Utah data center that has enough storage capacity to store every single bit of digital information on the planet. If that doesn't scare the crap out of you, well, then you're just beyond help. I can't do anything to motivate you to do something about this friggin' tyranny. So now we've gotten six. So we're 60% communist, right? Seventh plank, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state. Well, the federal government and foreign corporations affiliated with it own more than 50% of the land in your country under ostensible green space, national parks, environmental crap, and that's what Agenda 21 is all about. So there it is. Eighth plank, equal liability of all to labor, establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. Ooh, National Labor Unions, American Federation of Labor, Interstate Commerce Act, Civil Works Administration, National Labor Relations Act, Fair Labor Standards Act, Equal Employment Commission, all these things basically control labor. They can, at some point, determine what your job should be because you have to serve the state because of emergencies, right? So we got that already. Ninth blank is combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of population over the country. They're going to tell you where you live. And what they, for the most part, want to do is jam you into megacities with minor suburbs and urban sprawl so that you're in a manageable area. For example, I am a denizen of District 3. FEMA District 3 is where I live. At some point, the Commonwealth of Virginia is likely to just become District 3 because of an emergency, right? Tenth plank, free education for all children in public schools, abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, combination of education with industrial production. Are children being taught anything at school other than to how to be perverts, disobey their parents, get on drugs, and give them some utilitarian skills for a predetermined job that the government wants them to have? They're not taught anything about history, philosophy. We spend more per child now in government schools, and they're dumber than they've ever been and less capable of functioning in a modern economy. So there's all 10 planks, according to Karl Marx, and you got to ask yourself, are they legally, and I'm talking statutorily, obviously, because every one of these violates the U.S. Constitution, which is still the law of the land, are we legally, statutorily, already the USSR? Go to Tex and then Chris.
Well, this kind of gets to something I was sharing with you earlier, which is it's a comic by, like comic strip, I guess, like a Sunday morning comic strip like Peanuts or something like that, but it's only published on the internet. And it's sort of what you would say maybe like college type humor, offbeat college humor type thing. But it's by this guy, Stuart McMillan, in May of 2009. He said it's called Amusing Ourselves to Death, and basically it's Aldous Huxley, who wrote The Brave New World, versus George Orwell, who wrote 1984, and he does a comparison of the two. George Orwell, by far, is probably the more famous of the two, because every time we hear something about this, the first thing we say is, oh, well, this is an Orwellian scheme. So this person, what's his name again? Stuart McMillan, does kind of a comparison as to what Aldous Huxley was talking about versus what George Orwell was talking about. So what George Orwell feared was people who would come along, and the government would come along, and they would ban books, and they would censor them and put them into a ban pile. What Aldous Huxley feared was that there would be no reason to ban a book, because nobody would want to read one in the first place, because they're sitting around watching TV, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and, whatever that other show is that stars Snooki. What is that called? Jersey Shore, yeah. Orwell feared people who would deprive us of information by silencing the message. What Huxley was afraid of was that they would give us so much information that we would be reduced to passivity and egotism in the face of that onslaught. Orwell feared that the truth would be concealed from us, you know, saying that everything's going great while outside everything's terrible. And Huxley feared that the truth would be drowned in a sea of irrelevance. And, you know, this comic gives sort of a picture of try the new drug to lose weight without diet or exercise. Stay tuned to win cold, hard cash. And Orwell feared that we would become a captive culture, and Huxley feared we would become a trivial culture preoccupied with some equivalent of the feelies, orgy, porgy, and centrifugal bumble puppy. People tweeting, you know, paying attention to the lottery or the latest diet craze or, you know, how to make muscles. And Huxley remarked in A Brave New World Revisited, the civil libertarians and the rationalists who were ever on the alert to oppose tyranny failed to take into account man's almost infinite appetite for distractions. In 1984, people are controlled by inflicting pain from the Ministry of Peace. In A Brave New World, people are controlled by inflicting pleasure. And we see people rushing on to the Big Brother compound because it promises pleasure. So Orwell feared that what we hate would ruin us, and Huxley feared that what we love would ruin us. So I thought that was kind of an interesting juxtaposition, because I think really Huxley, he was more prescient as to how things were going to work. And this is one of the things about the book that, don't forget his name. I'm going to do it because I have to remember it right now. But The Road to Serfdom.
Serfdom?
Friedrich Hayek. Yes, The Road to Serfdom. Hayek, yes. I was going to say Mises. I kept Mises. No, Hayek. This is one of the things about Hayek's book, because Hayek is talking about essentially a 1984 type world. I mean, I think he has the metaphors right and everything, but it's not really enforced that way. It's enforced sort of more the Huxley way, which is enticing you into it and, you know, getting you sort of tranquilized on all this innocuous, inconsequential stuff, and then it's much easier to control you and make you compliant. If force is used overtly, it will lead to a reaction. So I found
that... Both?
Yeah.
Why
exactly.
Not both, Tex? Why can't we have both? Because you see, I think you're up. That's absolutely spot on. I mean, the simple fact is, just look at what most people pay attention to, and it's just, you're right, trivial crap. That's what Twitter is filled with. The interesting thing is that bread and circuses is not a new concept. It's always been around. And as long as you can provide the mob with bread and circuses, then you control the mob. But the difference is that there are some in the mob who won't be controlled, and for those, you need 1984. For the rest of them, Brave New World works just fine. You can just medicate them, drug them, entertain them, feed them, and they'll do your bidding. And they'll say stuff like, I'm a Verizon customer. I don't mind turning my records over if it's going to help us be safe from the terrorists, right? So that's the kind
of
crap that happens.
I heard someone say they wouldn't mind turning it over if they gave them a discount on their cell phone bill. How trivial a person
there you
is
go.
That?
There you go. Well, that's how it's done. I mean, it's one of the...
How poor a person is that? I mean, just ask yourself that. Like, for the savings of $20 a month, I'll turn over my entire life to the government. That says something about our economic
state as well.
You
might as well get the $20 a month since you've already turned everything over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
at this point, they're taking it anyway.
Just go to Facebook and fill out your profile. Oh, people are amazing. You know, there's conversations that I attempt to start on my group that just never seem to get traction, which are a lot more important to me on the bigger scope of, you know, the things that Tex was just talking about. You know, when you talk about the drugging of people, you know, we use 90% of the Ritalin in the world is used right here in the USA, and it's our children. And it's beyond pale, you know. And I come from the drug and alcohol rehab industry, and I remember when the psychiatrists took over the industry, and we used to actually help people get pull your head out of the ass syndrome. You know, in other words, you know, you need to straighten up your life. You need to take responsibility for the things you've done wrong. You need to, you know, forgive people who've wronged you, and you got to go through that, you know, that basic healing process, you know, and then get back on the road to life, to responsibility. And these modern psychologists got into the drug rehab industry, and they took it over. And next thing you know, everything was a condition or a syndrome. And then they started pumping out drugs and putting
PDM
people on drugs. And I'll tell you what, I walked away because I said, this is going to destroy our country. And I've had people I've known through my lifetime who've, you know, children have got in, you know, gone out and done stupid things that kids, you know, do. And then, you know, some of them, a good friend of ours, their child got arrested, and he was a normal kid, and he was out doing something stupid, and he got arrested, and he got put in the system, and he had to go to this, you know, halfway house, and they had, you know, all their psychiatrists in there. Next thing you know, this kid had, you know, multiple personality disorders, and he was on drugs, and, you know, I was pounding on her, get your kid out of that system. He has never been the same, never, because they got a hold of him, pumped him full of drugs, convinced him he was crazy, and just destroyed his life. And I've seen this stuff because I was in the industry. And so I've always been very acutely aware of it. And when you look at the articles and you read some of the stuff that I've posted off and on, you know, it just seems to never – it just doesn't take hold, and sometimes I think, geez, are you people all part of the problem? You know, I got hundreds of people on this group, and this is a huge issue, and it just never seems to take a hold. It's like obesity in this country. It's huge. It's a monstrous issue. Nobody will talk about it. Drugs, you know, psychotropic drugs, these people killing people. You know, it's all the information's there, but you just can't get the conversation opened up, and yet it's huge in the background to the world
that people are talking about. Yeah, people are taught to avoid conversations that have any substance where you might have a disagreement. Just sit back and laugh and talk about things that we all agree on. Don't talk across, you know, don't talk about politics or religion. Well, you know, the whole point of a democracy.
That's all we talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Because those are the important things to talk about, right? You know,
no kidding.
If you can't run a democracy if you can't talk about politics or religion. And that's kind of the idea, to shut that conversation off so that you can talk about what's on television. That's the most important thing. And I can't tell you, I mean, how many conversations do you go participate in where you meet someone new, let's say, not someone you've known for a long time, where you have like a lot of shared memories and everything, and before long it comes down to conversations about TV shows and movies that you've seen together. That's the common building block rather than, you know, ideas, the world of ideas and things. You know, and I talk to people all the time who I don't agree with politically, but the interesting thing is even people on the left increasingly are getting upset about this stuff. They're getting upset at Obama in a way that I think Republicans didn't really get upset with George Bush. And as I've kind of indicated, I think the last people who are going to be defending Obama on this Verizon thing and, you know, tapping into all this information, you're going to be on the right. And there's a couple things to say about that. So first, when Bush is doing these things, people rallied around him because, well, we're trying to defend the nation, we're trying to stop all these terrorists and everything. Okay, well, one way to do it is just to spy on everyone, right? That's probably not the best way, and certainly not the constitutional way.
And frisk everybody.
Yeah, there's got to be other ways to do it. But the Republican Party has cultivated, and a Democrat friend pointed this out to me, and it was kind of interesting because I stepped outside myself and I looked at it and I was like, yeah, you know, in a way they're right. And to a certain extent this is legitimate, to a certain extent it's not legitimate, but has cultivated the sense of we are the oppressed, that everything that we believe is being suppressed and being shut down, and, you know, we're actually the majority, but we're being treated as if our opinions don't matter and we're being squeezed out of the system more and more. Well, that creates an external threat mentality, which you have to rally around to defend. So when Bush was doing these types of things, there's a natural inclination to rally around him and defend him, even though constitutionally what was being done wasn't a good idea or was unconstitutional. On the left, they don't have that type of mentality, and so they were really concerned when Bush was doing all these sorts of things, and now that Obama has been caught doing the same thing, essentially continuing the Bush policies, and now we're in what you might call the fourth term of Bush, they're kind of turning on him. So it's interesting to see the psychology, and the thing is, you got to step back and just say, look, is this constitutional or not, and get away from the party. And this goes back to what, you know, I was saying earlier. I'd never vote for the Democrat. I just tell you that right now. It's not ever going to happen. Wouldn't pull the lever for one, period. Wouldn't even be tempted. But you have to be able to recognize that your own party has limitations. And I think there's a natural tendency among Republicans to always kind of rally around our guy and defend him, even if we can't stand him, like we did with Mitt Romney. Well, he's our guy. He's our son of a bitch. We got to rally around this piece of crap candidate and pretend he's all roses.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think for a lot of people, McCain was the last straw. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I'm not going to get started on that guy. But here's the interesting thing is on that insipid show on Fox News, The Five, you had Bob Beckel actually ripping Obama and just kind of disappointed that this happened. And then you had Eric Bolling and Dana Perino, you know, Bush, mouthpiece, you know, well, you know, it's not that bad. I don't mind giving my
friggin' idiots. I mean, and of course, you know, the biggest rhino of all, who we haven't talked to talked about for a while, you know, Karl Rove.
Oh my God!
Here's 3 minutes. We're way behind schedule. We'll probably do another show, but here's 3 minutes of Rove defending Obama and this NSA crap, and it's got some clips that we could talk about on the other side. It's about 3 minutes.
I do think that America is in a war against terrorists, and to be able to identify patterns of phone calls between individuals here and individuals abroad, and then to identify the patterns of phone calls inside this country, not listening in on conversations, but identifying who's talking to whom, allows the intelligence agencies to identify connections between people abroad and people at home. And as we saw in the Boston Marathon bombing incident, homegrown terrorists or terrorists who are in sleeper cells inside the United States are a threat that we have to deal with. We had to deal with them during the Bush years and did so successfully, perhaps in part because of programs like this, but there is a real threat, and this kind of intelligence, I understand why people are nervous about it, particularly with this administration, but we need to divorce the Obama White House from the National Security Agency and the CIA and the other intelligence agencies that are our front lines in many times in the war on terror.
Well, that is indeed true that we separate those, but we also don't separate any administration from the law. And the law, which is 50 U.S.C. 1861, talks about the fact about not going after essentially American citizens domestically. The NSA is supposed to be a foreign investigation, foreign intelligence, and now we find out tonight that it wasn't so foreign and that it seems to be, in the words of the New York Times, going after President Obama, that it is President Obama's dragnet, that it's much vaster, it's vast.
Well, but remember, look, Tsarnaev was a, the Boston bomber brothers, one of them went to Chechnya, and again, we don't know the details then, but imagine what would happen if we were able to identify that he had called somebody in Chechnya. He was under a review for a period of time. What if he called somebody in Chechnya who was known to be a terrorist? That would have allowed us to then to understand that he was a problem and to map his contacts back here in the United States. We saw this on 9/11 itself, where we had in the months leading up to 9/11 a number of contacts between the 9/11 bombers and people abroad, and then they contacted each other inside the United States. And if we'd had a program like this in effect at the time, that might have been helpful to us in stopping the 9/11 plot. So the right of the government to collect phone numbers and records of phone calls made to other that one number called another number, that has already been upheld by the Supreme Court, I believe, in a case called Smith, and there is a right for the government to do this, and it's focused on what kind of people have inside the United States with people outside the United States, and once we identify that they have those kind of contacts outside of the United States, who are they talking to inside the United States as well?
Big difference. In that case, you mentioned Boston. That was the Russians warned us about his contacts in Chechnya. That's one person. We had a reason to investigate him. In this instance, it's something like 97 million people who are customers of Verizon. I don't know how many of AT&T. We're not talking about people who there are threats that we have reason to be suspicious about. We're talking about everybody else.
Well,
Wait a minute.
What we're looking for is connections between somebody abroad and somebody here in the United States, and then once identified inside the United States that somebody is talking to somebody who's in a bad place with a bad number that indicates a terrorist connection, what kind of other contacts are they having inside the United States? And I think that's entirely legitimate, and in the environment and the world in which we live, necessary.
Oh, really? You really think it's necessary? I mean, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
You have a higher chance of being run over by a car or struck by lightning than you do being killed by a terrorist. And then these sons of bitches have your southern border a sieve where you've got diseases that we haven't seen in this country coming across the border. You've got Muslim jihadists crossing the border. There's all sorts of problems coming across that border that they're doing nothing about, and this new bill does nothing about. In the meantime, they're spying on every American. So don't give me this crap that this is some kind of thing for security.
It was very eloquent in defending that policy. He was more eloquent than Barack Obama was in defending that policy, probably because he helped put that policy in place. And Obama was like, well, shit, can't get rid of this thing now, because if I do, they're going to say, oh, Obama stripped all this intelligence and everything. Kind of forced his hand. That sounds like he's justifying his prior actions there.
There is a difference. If, and even the guy who was part of writing that bill came up and said what they're doing has nothing to do with what that original bill in the Patriot Act was written for. What he was saying was, you know, identifying somebody who is a risk and then being able to follow through with it. Yeah, that was the whole concept behind the Patriot Act and the FISA court was saying, hey, we got a guy, you know, with probable suspicion here, and we need to protect our country. So, you know, judge, give me a court order, and we're going to eavesdrop on this guy, and we're going to protect America. That's identifying a threat and then following through with legal and court action. This power grab of data, it has nothing to do with that. This is insanity. They can't, you know, they can't even protect it. Like Rex said, you know, our border's wide open. They're dumping dangerous criminals back on the street, and they're searching the average American's phone call. Give me a freaking break. This guy needs to get the hell out of this country.
Well, I did like how he said, well, you know, tries to wrap it up in the Boston bombers. Like, well, you know, the Boston bombers,
they
we
failed.
Were able to establish a connection with Chechnya through the phone calls and everything. Well, the Russian intelligence even told you, like, this guy's a problem. And still we didn't
do
anything. So whether you have the data or not, which clearly they must have if they've been gathering everyone's cell phone conversation, they must have had this data at the time, right? And then the Russian intelligence comes up and tells them, like, hey, by the way, these dudes are freaking us out, man. Yeah.
Two times.
And then they're
back,
like, yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, they were people of interest. You know,
whatever.
You could have all the data in the world, but
that's crap.
You're not acting on it. You're not doing anything to actually protect anyone. And meanwhile, instead of spying on all of us, why don't you protect the damn border, for God's sake? And then you wouldn't need
My
to spy
God.
On us.
Well, because that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is to spy on us. The point is not to protect us. Okay. And then first of all, there's two things. One, they can't protect us. Okay. They can't, no matter how strong a police state you put in place and how many cameras and how many terabytes of data you store and profile people and all this kind of stuff, a violent criminal, a violent terrorist will get their deed done at some point. Okay. So that can't be done. Number two, I'm not so sure that they necessarily want to protect us because these kinds of incidents give them, you know, you can't let a crisis go to waste, and it's part of that psychological conditioning you talked about earlier. So you implement the 1984 masculine in-your-face tyranny, and then you use these kinds of incidents to psychologically manipulate people into accepting the Brave New World type of soft, happy servitude tyranny. Because you know everybody freaks out about every incident, and they're we have to do something, you know, and that generally means we have to do anything, which usually means things that are illegal or unconstitutional are on the table, you know. And the thing is, you know, everybody's clamoring for them to do something, and we must never let this happen again. Well, I mean, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen.
Right.
Get used to it. It's not that big a deal. The statistical likelihood of being killed by a terrorist is far less than being killed in a car accident or being killed by a physician. You know, and that's the other problem that you brought up earlier, Chris. You brought up the DSM-5 and all these drugs and everything, and these psychiatrists, for the most part, are Rosicrucians as opposed to Hippocratic. You know, the Hippocratic oath says first do no harm. Well, most of these people in this field belong to the order of the Rosicrucians, which is a secret society that is designed to kind of massage people's minds into being pliable serfs. And that's what they're looking for. So everybody, you know, when you're thinking about when are they going to implement this police state, when is this final class going to happen, when's World War III going to break out, it's already happening. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of World War III, or World War IV, if you consider the Cold War World War III. We're in the middle of a financial collapse, and you're in the middle of accepting all of these things because it's so overwhelming and it's happening gradually that you're saying, well, you know, there's not much I can do about it. I just want to live my life, and, you know, I'll just play close to the wall and keep my mouth shut. Okay? That's not a free person.
Here's the thing, too, to think about when we talk about these psychotropic drugs and these mind manipulators. Every one of these mass killers, every one of these psychos that flip, if you track it down, and you have to dig because for some reason mainstream media will not focus on this, every one of them was on some drug. And when you read the side effects of these drugs, and I've listened to extensive interviews by people in the industry who are against what is going on in this country, you know, have background on it, and I've seen documentaries, you know, experienced it when, in my time in the drug and alcohol industry, but, you know, it's changed a little bit. It's become more more evil, for lack of a better term. But you get these guys, you know, going off, and then somebody finally does a little bit of research, background research on them, and they were on something. So you get these people out here triggered by these drugs, going off their rocker and killing people, and then you get people like Feinstein and Schumer and John McCain, you know, the fake Republican, jumping up and down going, we need to take your guns. Mm-hmm. And then that last step, you know, is take away your guns. And
right. Unless you have ultimate recourse to firearms, you have absolutely no strength, which is precisely why we have a Second Amendment that demands that we have a well-regulated militia and that the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. These people can't pass a legal so-called gun control, you know, really gun restriction bill, except through Article 5 of the Constitution, but they don't care. And you bring up a very interesting point because, you know, everybody's always freaked out about guns and everything and all these, you know, drugged-out psychos. Well, there is a guy who wasn't on drugs, who's a law-abiding citizen, who works with police, neighborhood watch guy, who was put in the unfortunate situation where he had to fire his weapon and take a life. He goes on trial tomorrow. That's George Zimmerman, all right? And the pre-trial hearings have been unbelievably biased. Evidence is being excluded, and they're, you know, painting, you know, 17-year-old would-be thug Trayvon Martin as a 10-year-old, you know, cutesy kid with Skittles, and George Zimmerman is looking like the predator. This thing is being railroaded, and don't take it lightly because he represents every single one of you free people who wants to live their life and contribute to their community. If you really want homeland defense, if you really want security, quit looking for some government douchebag to do it. You do it yourself and your community together, voluntarily. That's how it's supposed to work. And, of course, statutorily through the militia, which is organized under the legislature and the governor. But real quick, quick announcement. The governor of Nevada, this is from friend of the show, Billy Brown, and you check out his page, Republic of Texas TV. The governor of Nevada has set up a hotline asking whether or not he should veto a proposed gun control bill. He has opened it up to out-of-state callers since it would impact everyone. Mayor Bloomberg has asked his minions to call in supporting the legislation. Bloomberg is a dick, so we need to call in opposing it. The phone number to call in is 775-684-5670. Press 2 to ask for the veto. 775-684-5670. Okay? Make your voice heard, because if we allow incremental destruction of our ability to have firearms, then you've got no teeth. If the government has all the hollow point bullets and all the weapons and you don't have any, then they don't need to ask your permission to violate your rights, and the Brave New World model goes out the window, and the 1984 model comes right in through the front door. That is the reason why our founding fathers gave us this right. And it isn't just so that you can go deer hunting, because guess what? In 1776 or 1789, deer hunting, that's how you got food, all right? That's like going to the grocery store. So nobody had to have a law to permit deer hunting. That's what everybody did to just eat. The reason that they put a negative law, which does not allow the federal government to take your arms, is because the whole point is that every able-bodied person between the ages of 16 and 60 is supposed to be armed, proficient in the use of arms, and organized in a militia under the state in order to provide for the common defense, to be called up in times of war and rebellion under the President of the United States, who's commander-in-chief, and to be the first responders for situations like the tornadoes we have in Oklahoma, the hurricanes we have in Florida, the wildfires we have in California. That's how it's supposed to work. And don't give me any of this crap about unorganized militia. An unorganized military force is not it's just a mob. You need an organized military force, rights, everything else, and also possibly to defend the southern border, which the government doesn't seem to do anything about. That's how it's supposed to work. So what you need to do is realize that it is an inviolable right, and it isn't granted by the Constitution. It's just codified in the Constitution in order to prevent the government from taking it away. And it's a very important thing, so I suggest you call the governor of Nevada and tell him that you do not want any gun control. And remember, for Nevada, their number one business is tourism, so they're really concerned about how everybody else sees this, because that's how they make their money. Dex, you there?
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. Absolutely. Sorry, I got dropped. I just got back in. So, yes, we're talking about gun control, but you know, that's one of the other things. I was talking with someone the other day who said, well, you know, all this gun control stuff, you know, this wouldn't be an issue if people realized that they don't need automatic weapons in order to kill a deer. Well, the reason we have the Second Amendment is not so you can shoot a deer. That's not the point. The Second Amendment existed because it was part of the overall militia system where the states would allocate to the federal government the troops needed to service the federal army because they didn't want a standing federal army because that would be too much authority over the states. That was the idea, and having the right to keep and bear arms would mean that the citizens had this and the states therefore could train them, and the federal government would not be able to limit the right for the people to keep and bear arms because that would be controlling essentially the state militias that were lending their power to the federal government. So it was an important control on federal authority that we completely disregarded and got rid of, and now we're living in latter-day America. America, the empire.
USSA.
Exactly, where everything seemed at the time, well, it's just a little change, it's not that big a deal. You know, everybody rationalized all this stuff all this time, and, you know, today you are where you are, where the government's out reading all your emails and scanning all your tweets and chats and whatever the heck else you're communicating directly to people. They're scooping it up into a big database so that they can come back and read it and determine whether or not you're the type of person they want to see in their America as they define it at the moment. And, you know, this is one of the things where, this is one of the things where, you know, you have to be concerned that, okay, a lot of people on the right are against this right now because Obama's in power, right? Oh, we don't want Obama to have this authority, but if this was a Republican president doing this, the natural inclination would be to rally around him and say, oh, no, we need this information, this is really important, and, you know, Sean Hannity and all these other people will be out there saying what a big deal this is and how important it is that we defend this kind of stuff because we need this information. It's a valuable tool in the war against terrorism. You got to get beyond that crap and start thinking about the principles and stop thinking about the party and just figure out where the country is going and stop reflexively defending transfers of your freedom away from you and away from your locality and up to the central government.
No, right on, Tex. No, that's absolutely correct. And the point you bring up about, you know, if all these guys that are talking about now because it's Obama, these are the same assholes that were rah, rah, rah about the Patriot Act when it was passed under George Bush. And Obama wouldn't be able to do what he's doing now, quote, legally, if not for the Patriot Act back then. So, you know, this idea, this infection that we talked about of the 10 planks of communism, people's perceptions, and the Brave New World model, the 1984 model, it infects people across the board, from Occupy to Tea Party to Ron Paul Revolution to Gary Johnson libertarians. It infects everybody. We all fall prey to it at some point or the other, and unless you're aware of it, it is a trap that you will fall right into. And the crazy thing is that this is exactly how a communist revolution will happen, because they learned their mistakes in 1917. And keep in mind that the communist revolution in 1917 was not an indigenous Russian thing. It was a Western bankster financed and agitated revolution, because communism is not some workers' proletariat paradise where there's no property and it's like a John Lennon song. It is just a precursor for massive, severe, oligarchic, statist corporatism. That's what it is about. So, you know, don't give me this fantasy bullshit that, oh, if communism was done the right way, it's all peace and love, okay? It's not. It's crap. Never works. And don't give me this, capitalism is mean. Capitalism is neutral. It's a free market. If you want to be an asshole in the free market, you can be an asshole in the free market. If you want to be a virtuous person in the free market, you can be a virtuous person in the free market. If you want a free and virtuous society, you have to have the free market. The question is, do you have virtue? Clearly we don't, because if we did, we wouldn't be here. And this has been going on for 100 years, but it's accelerated in the last 40, and we've fallen victim to it. Now, the new model is to have the internal revolution without a shot being fired. And the way that you do that is you overwhelm the system, you break the system, you dump a lot of crazy situations that'll have people clamoring for more emergency powers for government to bring order, and then you apply pressure from above and pressure from below. And the pressure from below is exactly how they did the things with the Arab Spring and sort of what's going on in Turkey right now. You get people all riled up to protest and demand their rights and all this kind of stuff, and then you exert even more pressure from above, and then eventually the thing just, you know, smashes in the middle, and who gets sucked away? The independent, liberty-loving, business-owning, hard-working, family-raising, church-attending, middle class. Because we are the problem. We're not in the top 0001%, you know, the Mitt Romneys of the world and the George Soroses of the world, and we're not in the bottom, 20, 30, 47%, whatever it is, who is just, you know, struggling. We're the ones that are kind of holding freedom for everybody. And the top and the bottom want to take it away, smash you, so that there will be a very small clique at the top and a horrible populace at the bottom that has no self-determination, no wealth, is relying on government for everything. In the Soviet Union, talking about the USSR, it was an impoverished land for seven decades with 20 million killed by Stalin alone that we know of. And after seven decades of this horrible mess, they decided, you know, that they collapsed. Why did they collapse? Well, their economy was shit. Communism didn't work. They had problems on the oil markets, and, you know, we were certainly trying to put pressure on them there. And they invaded Afghanistan. Came crashing down, and now Russia is doing quite well. Now, I'm not saying that Putin's a good guy. I'm not saying that, you know, I trust him. But he's certainly doing good things for his country. On the other hand, we've been electing idiots who've been impoverishing ours. But in Moscow, for all those 70 years of horrible communism in Russia, the elite of the Politburo and the party members lived quite well. And Washington, D.C. right now is thriving. Number one lobster market in the world, 16 of the wealthiest zip codes in the country right here around the Imperial City. I can tell you this, when I go out, I cannot tell that we're in the middle of a financial collapse. Every restaurant, every Starbucks, every car dealership, every shopping mall, everything is busy. But if I drive 2 hours in any direction outside of the Imperial City, it is a hellhole. And that's exactly what's going on here. You're living in a country that has been infiltrated by communism, whether it's the 84 kind or the BVN kind, doesn't really matter. And you're sitting back worried about your latest tweet, your Facebook update, Dancing with the Douchebags, or Who Won American Idol. Now, of course, if you're listening to the show, that's clearly not you. But what I'm telling you is, if you don't get other people involved by sharing the show, getting them the show, you don't have to agree with everything we say, you don't have to like our style, but this information is relevant, and it needs to be heard, because without an intellectual revolution, you will never have a real revolution. And let me be clear, we need a revolution. I'm not talking about a violent revolution, but we need a revolution to get back to who we're supposed to be. We're Americans. We're supposed to live freely under the Constitution and take care of each other and not rely on government to do every damn thing. The government only has 18 powers. That's it. That's all it's supposed to do. You don't need a 3,000-page bill to exercise 18 powers. Chris? You want to hear from let's hear from Newt.
I was on
mute. Let's hear from Newt. Go ahead. Hear from Newt real quick. Newt talking about something, just because he makes me feel like someone makes sense. Newt, let's see. We've got Gingrich on CNN somewhere in here. Tex, are you back with us?
Yep, got booted off again.
Okay. Is it the NSA? Well, there's no such agency, so they couldn't possibly do that to you.
That's right, exactly. I don't know. It's Verizon, which is a branch office of the NSA.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, maybe I don't have Newt because this thing does not want to cooperate because it's Blog Talk Radio or no such agency. But in any event, the clip's on our page, and it's basically Newt talking about how the problem is big government. That's what all these scandals are about. That's exactly what is causing the problems. As conservatives, we're supposed to want small government, but has the Republican Party given you small government anytime recently? Guys, since 1984,
no.
We got smaller government?
Yeah.
No.
No, it keeps growing. It keeps growing and growing and growing. And, you know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day about this aspect of Gingrich. Like, you're crazy if you think Gingrich would be you know, a good person to be president or something. I'm like, well, you know, look what he did. What do you not support about him? Of course, this person's a liberal. So they're saying, oh, well, you know, I don't support all that social conservatism stuff. I'm like, okay, so you don't support that, but what's the main crisis of the country right now is that we're sending ourselves into oblivion. And even he admitted that he thought that was the case. I'm like, and who's the only guy who can fix this problem is Newt Gingrich. And, you know, Gingrich comes in, he balances the federal budget, but yet, you know, we can't have him because, oh, his ideas are too wacky. And actually, interestingly, he said, you know, the thing that they, you know, tarred and feathered Gingrich with was the only thing that I actually supported, which is the idea of a moon base. Like, hey, that actually makes a lot of sense, you know. You'd probably get a lot of technologies out of that. There'd be a lot of beneficial externalities out of it, as there always have been out of our space program. So, I don't know. What was the question again?
I was asking if we were going to get smaller government, and you went to the moon, incidentally is a good idea, because if we don't go to the moon, the Russians and the Chinese are going to the moon, and I don't know if I would feel comfortable having other countries that may or may not be friendly towards us having a pretty strategic position called the high ground, which is the satellite orbiting the planet.
While I was talking to you, I was tinkering with my technology to try to figure out if I can solve why I'm getting booted. So limited government, one of the things that you have to do is starve the beast, and so you have to balance the budget. That would be one of the first steps, and here you have a guy, Newt Gingrich, who has a track record of balancing the budget, because the budget is the ultimate control on the size of the government. But, you know, the Federal Reserve has this product called government debt that they love to sell. And they have very willing buyers in Washington. And in the meantime, the people who are on the hook for the bill for all of this is you. And as we've said many times, it would be better if they just printed the damn money, because the effect would be the same. You still devalue the dollar, but there wouldn't be a bill associated with it at the end. There wouldn't be any interest. There
That's
would just
the
be
point.
More dollars.
The whole point is the interest.
Exactly. The point.
Yeah, why the IRS
the
exists.
Banks, the whole point. Yeah. The whole point is the interest for the banks.
All right.
Moynihan was always talking about monetizing the debt and what a bad idea that would be. Well, guess what? They're monetizing the debt already, but they're sticking you with a bill for it.
Yeah. You're paying them so that they can fabricate something that's worthless in order to make what you already have worth less. So you're getting screwed three times. I was tinkering around with my technology here. Also, I don't know if anybody knows this, Blog Talk Radio is kind of a shoestring technology. If you really want us to have a more robust technology, then I recommend you really grow the show so that we can maybe actually one day get some revenue and do a little bit more. But right now we're actually paying to do this, and it's a pretty lousy gig. But I managed to get it fixed, so here's 2.5 minutes, Newt Gingrich talking big government.
Deal with that information. Well, and frankly, I think increasingly I distrust all bureaucracies, because the record we have at the IRS, the record we have at the Environmental Protection Agency, where we just learned today they were actually giving individual names of farmers to activist lawyers. I mean, every time we turn around, there's a new bureaucratic big government scandal that I think is deeper and more than President Obama. I think it's part of the whole problem of giant government. So I'd want to know that this was walled off, and I would want some kind of criminal sanctions against anybody who used this information for anything except counterterrorism.
You see, I've got a story here which is from 2006, USA Today. The National Security Agency has been secretly collecting the phone call records of tens of millions of Americans using data provided by AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South. Now, that was obviously under George Bush's administration. And the critics will say, all right, Mr. Speaker, you're criticizing the Obama administration for doing this, although you're saying it could be acceptable because you don't think you can trust them. Other people will say, well, hang on. What about the Bush administration who took us to war in Iraq over what turned out to be a pack of lies about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction? Why would you trust them anymore with that information? So isn't it like for like?
Okay, you go back to 2006, you'll find I said, if it is narrowly restricted to counterterrorism, it's acceptable. So my position hasn't changed. I think, and by the way...
That wasn't my question.
Let me just say for the record...
My question was, why would you trust Why would you trust the Bush administration, given their terrible breakdown of intelligence and information over weapons of mass destruction? Why would you trust them any more than you would trust the Obama administration with the same records?
Let me say, first of all, I don't believe Colin Powell lied. I don't believe that that's an accurate statement. I think they said what they thought was true at the time, but that's irrelevant. I believe that there should be criminal sanctions against anyone who takes a national security tap and uses it for any other purpose. So I think there should be an iron wall between the FBI, criminal prosecutions, the Justice Department, and the national security apparatus. I've said this all along. I don't trust the Bush administration. I don't trust any big government. I think big governments are inherently dangerous. That's why, as a conservative, I like much smaller government, because I distrust big bureaucratic governments. They run amok.
Well, let's turn talking of...
That's a nonpartisan statement.
I'm staggered. I love the fact you didn't trust the Bush administration.
Contrast that with what Rove was doing. You know, Newt's position is, you know, and a lot of people don't like Newt Gingrich, a lot of people love Newt Gingrich, but the simple fact is that he provides clarity and thoughtfulness to things. He's not always right. I got some problems with him, but for the most part, he provides a more intellectual, insightful approach to these problems and provides a plan of effective action. I mean, if the Republicans would have made him Speaker of the House again, or at least listen to the strategies he lays out, they would have Obama over a barrel right now. Instead, they're bloviating about these scandals and not getting anything done because Boehner is a pussy. But the very simple fact is, Newt said it right, okay? There needs to be some kind of really strict, narrow focus on this, because let's be clear about something. There are people out there trying to kill us, not just Muslim jihadists, although they are the most numerous and dangerous, okay? And it is incumbent upon the federal government to provide these kinds of protections and investigations and observe who these people are. But that is a very narrow focus, and no such agency is supposed to only be doing that, not a broad dragnet across the whole country to be used for tyranny. And that's by shrinking the government and not giving it all the financial resources that it desires through the Federal Reserve, it wouldn't be able to build this massive dragnet. It would only be able to do focused and targeted things on those people who are actually dangerous. And that's the focus that we need to get to. And you know, we all want to know everything that's going on. Well, if we know what's going on, so does the enemy. So there are certain things that need to be protected, but you can't do anything without a warrant, without a judge, without respect for the Constitution. All 10 points of the Bill of Rights, and that's what the violation is right now. Why don't we go to Tex, and then we'll go to Chris.
Well, two thoughts. First, I would say, you know, when you say, well, there are certain things that need to be protected, and what they'll say is, oh, and this is one of those. So that's the problem with that argument, because when you're in Washington, you're like, okay, this is one of the things you have to keep from the American people. But so you have these people who came, and they, I think this most recent guy, Snowden or whatever, more of a whistleblower, where he saw, like, oh, my God, I can't support this. The people who sort of ratted out rendition, they kind of are along the same vein, where they're saying, you know, this is not something I can support. The American people need to know that their government is doing this. Bradley Manning, I take issue with, because he's just releasing massive amounts of cables and basically giving away
the whole arms way.
And people get killed as a result of that. So I don't have a lot of sympathy or any, really, for Bradley Manning. But when you're looking at one of the things that occurred to me is people are looking at, okay, so Manning releases all these cables. We've got to go after him. That's a big leak. You know, this is a bad thing. He leaked information. The government's going to go get him. The Snowden guy, he's over there in Hong Kong. He's released or exposed this secret prison program. So we need to go after him and get him. But what about these IRS agents who are like, oh, yeah, it's okay that we're completely persecuting these conservative groups? They didn't go leak that. They didn't jump out of their chair and say, hey, this is unconstitutional. We shouldn't be doing this. I mean, these are people who are paid to enforce these 501c rules. They know what the rules are because they've been processing these applications for years. Once you get a bureaucratic job, you got it for 25, 30 years. And they've been sitting there doing it the whole time. All of a sudden, there's this extra level of scrutiny, and they don't say, like, this is bullshit. You know, people need to know about this. They're like, yeah, well, whatever. That's how they want it in Washington, so I guess I'll do it because I have a cushy bureaucratic job. I mean, who really are you going to be more upset with? The person who stands up and says, this is bullshit. I need to inform the American people so that they can make a decision as to whether or not this is, is this something you want the government to do, versus somebody who's like, ah, it's probably bullshit, I'm going to do it anyway, who gives a shit? I get a paycheck. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. When you bring up a good point. Number one, you know, I haven't seen all the evidence because obviously the Fort Meade trial is not publicized like Jody Arias or George Zimmerman. So I'm not going to indict Zimmerman or indict Manning or defend him. If he did get people killed, then he should certainly be prosecuted for that. However, why are we picking on this guy? You know, why pick on this guy when everybody else who's involved in these things, just like you mentioned, these IRS agents, everybody else who's involved in getting Americans killed and dereliction of duty and violation of the Constitution and potentially treasonous and traitorous activities is given a promotion. You know, we just promoted Powers to UN ambassador. We just promoted Rice to NSA, no such agency, National Security Council advisor. It's a different thing. Don't confuse the two. And what about Hillary Clinton? And what about the big kahuna himself, Webster, Obama, right? You know, why aren't we going after any of these people? The Republicans are out having hearings and talking and bloviating, but come on. I mean, it doesn't take that long to get these investigations done, and you've got hundreds of Republicans on the Hill. Why don't you get these things targeted, start getting some subpoenas done, start having some real investigations, start having heads roll. No.
Has Boehner said anything
other than
– I mean, talk about leadership. Where is this guy? Where is he on these issues? What is he doing? I mean, see, that was the great thing about having Gingrich as speaker. He was out there out front telling you, this is what happened, and here's what we're going to do about it. And he knew exactly what was happening. Boehner, you don't know. I don't know where Boehner is. I don't know what he's doing. What is the Republican strategy about all this? You have Sensenbrenner saying some things and some other people saying some things. But it's not coordinated if it's not coming from the leadership. So you have individual senators doing things, but that's not as good as having an overall plan to deal with these issues that's being announced and communicated to the American people. And this gets back to the apathy issue. Wow, that's a really big issue. I don't know what to do about it. How will we fix that thing? That's why Newt Gingrich was so great, because he was so good at communicating with the American people. He would say, this is bullshit, and here's what we're going to do, and this is how we'll fix it. Boehner doesn't do that, though, because Boehner doesn't know how to fix anything.
That's because Boehner is a pussy, and people of Ohio, for God's sake, in 2014, get rid of this guy, because apparently the Republican caucus doesn't have the balls to remove him as speaker, and he will be speaker again, assuming that these scandals don't work out the way the Republicans want, and the Republicans maintain the majority. But, you know, get rid of this guy. And the fact is that
Boehner's,
if you're really
just
a conservative,
you are that he's speaker.
Yeah. He's crying about it somewhere. If you're a conservative, quit being a diehard Republican. Unfortunately, since the Republicans and the Democrats control every precinct at the federal level, those are the only two choices that are going to get anywhere. All the independents in, you know, the federal government aren't really independents. Joe Lieberman's a Democrat. Bernie Sanders is a socialist, so he's a Democrat. There's really no independence in the federal government. It's not going to happen until you change the ballot rules at your state, which you'd better be doing. But at the state level, you know, fire away. I know that the Virginia Republicans are getting hammered by the Libertarians because the stupid, quote, conservative governor we've got right now just handed a $7 billion transportation tax boondoggle, and they're going to pay heavily for it this year, November 2013. Watch the Virginia race. It is a barometer for what is going to happen in 2014. And frankly, the states just, you know, rip apart every rhino and run someone from the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, who's a constitutionalist, and just defeat them. At the federal level, you got to change the rules. But the most important rules to change are coming up on August 14th in Boston, which are the RNC rules on how to handle delegates and elections for president, which will be a huge impact in 2016. And, you know, we do have a Republican who is actually a conservative.
Oh, right. I just want to make a prediction, if I can, as to what's going to happen at the August meeting. They're going to come together. There's going to be a lot of sperm and drang ahead of time, and jack shit is going to happen. That's exactly how that's going to go. Nothing will change, and the party will continue to go on the same road to oblivion.
That's entirely possible. That's entirely possible, but the fact is that it's easier to take over an existing organization on a national level than build one from the ground up. The simple fact is that political animals have to respond to their constituents.
I agree with you on that.
Constituency
doesn't want to give out false hope. That's all.
No, you're right. Well, it's not false hope. I'm just telling people you got to be active. The results don't belong to us, but the work does. And the fact is, we talked about the whole thing, like, well, you know, if I'm not doing anything wrong, I don't mind handing my records over to the government. You know, it's that kind of stupid attitude that, well, you know, nothing's going to change with the rules. You know, I'll just vote for whatever rhino they run. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's why Romney lost, because a lot of us, we didn't stay home. We didn't stay home last time. We voted for somebody else. People voted for Gary Johnson. People voted for Virgil Goode. People voted for Ron Paul. And the Republicans could have won if they actually ran a conservative, and they had several choices, most prominently Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich. But no, they forced Romney. And now they're going to try to force Bush or Rubio or Christie or some other douchebag like that on you. And I don't want to get too far into 2016, but you know, this is happening in a couple of months. Make your voice heard, because they have to. They need to get the votes, and they think somehow by legalizing, you know, 11 million Latinos, suddenly they're going to be like, oh, well, the Republicans legalized this, so we'll just vote for them. That's not going to happen. Okay, so, you know, give me a break. Do the work. Push forward a conservative agenda. Focus on your state, and focus on your RNC committee members. There's only three of them. Haven't heard from Chris for a while, so let's let Chris sign off, and then I'm going to play a rather lengthy Rand clip, which will kind of move us from the domestic USSR problem we have here to how we are bungling around on the global stage, because it looks like Assad is winning, and I would suspect that pretty soon Israel and the United States are going to have to strike, which is a very stupid move. But yeah. Why don't we go to Chris first, and then we'll
go to
Chris.
Did you see that article I put in chat? You need to read that while you're playing your... while you're playing the clip. But anyway,
okay.
You know, there's a lot of things going on right now. And somewhere along the line, you know, 9/11, I remember when the Patriot Act was signed. I remember driving in the car where I was at on the freeway with my son, and I turned to him and I said, they just signed away your freedoms. And it is amazing how many people have done nothing about it. It's amazing how many people call, you know, people conspiracy theorists. You know, you look at the TSA. There is nobody from my generation, you know, 10 years or 15 years ago that would have ever thought we were going to be frisked by a bunch of criminals every time we got on and off a plane. And we voluntarily let it happen with this guise that it's to protect us. It's not about protecting us. They won't profile the people who mean our country harm for political correctness, so they basically profile everybody, including children and grandma and Chewbacca. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just insane. Yeah. You know, we have this whole conversation, like what Rove was saying, we have this whole conversation about, you know, him making excuses for this crap. This was never meant to be a blanket, massive drift net to sweep across and destroy the whole ocean, you know, so they could pull, you know, billions of pounds of fish out of the ocean and just rip it to shreds. It was never designed that way. Police work is strategic. Intelligent work is strategic. It requires work and effort and communication. 9/11, they knew about these people. They had these people under watch. There was a lack of communication between departments, just like with the Sarnia situation. The information was there. So going after 87 million Verizon customers and 300 million Americans on the Internet isn't going to make the problem go away. All, you know, the bad guys slipped through the cracks. And that's the problem with this. You're giving up your freedoms, and it is not making you safer. So anyway, that's just my closing on that. Do your video. We'll get on to this Syria thing, because something big's getting ready to happen.
Yeah, I know, and I do want to bring it up, but again, this thing is not functioning well. So, you know, we'll bring on a guest who's always good for a little calm, peaceful, quiet conversation. Gunny, you're live with Tex and Rex.
Oh, hey, good evening, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm fired up, dude. You know, we got a country to save, and there's an enemy to take down, and, man, a Marine couldn't have a better life. No, I was just kind of floating in and just checking up on you guys, making sure you're still staying true, you know, staying connected, and love everything you're doing. And, You know, there's only one thing I got to make a comment about, though, is that interview that old Newt had, and when he said, you know, I don't think Colin Powell was lying and stuff. You know, I got to tell you, my opinion is quite the other way around, because while I was in the Marine Corps, I had some time in the intel field because I was working for an intel officer when I was in the infantry. And knowing what I know about the intel field and how intel is collected and all of the capabilities that we have, and in fact, there are so many more capabilities now than when I was in it at that point in time. But, you know, when I saw those photos that Colin Powell had shown and to the public, I said to myself, I said, you know what? Those photos are the ones that they unclassified to show to the public to get people to understand why we needed to go to war. And so I said, you know, my thinking was that, you know, they've got the photos that, you know, shows where all of this stuff shows the trucks, probably shows their license plate numbers and all of that. And when you understand the capability that they have, the intel resources that they have and all of that, you know what? There's an element of truthfulness that I beg to differ with on that particular aspect, because I think there's a whole lot of people that knew the truth and used that to take us to war, and I'm not happy about that at all.
Well, it was about a gas line.
Yeah, so, you know, just that whole, I don't think he was telling a lie. I just think they gave us the information they had. I know this is a show that I can say the BS word, but I'm calling the BS card here.
Well, keep in mind that back then Newt Gingrich was not like when he was Speaker, he had obviously far more intelligence information access than he did as not Speaker. So, you know, I will give Newt the benefit of the doubt of giving Colin Powell the benefit of the doubt.
But you can't give Colin Powell the benefit of the doubt. The dude was
in the
middle.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt. You don't.
I'm sorry.
I mean, look, the whole idea of whether Saddam had weapons of mass destruction or not, well, we know he did because Cheney and Rumsfeld were the ones who gave them to him. But that's not really the point. The point is that Iraq was part of a plan to take down several countries. 9/11 was the impetus. It began with Afghanistan, which was probably legitimate because that's where Bin Laden was. But there's Iraq and several other Middle Eastern countries that have now since essentially been taken down. Egypt is now controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood. Libya is more or less the same way. And it looks as if Syria is, you know, on the clock as the next target. You know, the fact is that this is precisely why the only legitimate constitutional military that we have is the U.S. Navy and Marines. Everything else is supposed to be militia.
Hoorah!
We'll defend our country, but if you ask me to go halfway across the world to some godforsaken desert in order to help some bankster topple a government that we may or may not like, I don't really care, in order to build pipelines, control resources, and set up one of their Rothschild-owned banks, no thank you.
Let me chime in here just real quick, if I may, please, and I don't mean to cut you off. But
one thing real quick on the pipeline, we didn't invade Afghanistan for a natural gas pipeline.
Okay. Well, Deli says out there on the chat forum, why are we living in the past? Can't change that. But the point is, and this is the point, not that we're living in the past, but, you know, people's history is an indication of their character, and it is the character of those who were in charge that's in question, and some of those people are still around. So that's kind of why it's not so much living in – I mean, you know, why do we talk about the founding fathers? Well, are we still living in the past 250 years ago? Well, yeah, we are, because what they did affects what we are doing today, and that's why it's important to understand the past so that we don't repeat it and that we clarify where we were, who's doing what, and that sort of stuff.
Well, I agree, but I mean it is sort of beating a dead horse. Iraq is a disaster. We created it. Not much you can do about it now. But the idea is that you need a constitutional military force, you need a restrained government. And Newt's point was, you know, big government is just a problem. And he's right.
I agree with there. Absolutely.
Tex, I know you're trying to make a point before we move on. Go for it.
Did you drop him again?
No, I still see it. Well,
no.
Anyway, we got 15 minutes of live time left.
You do have the same...
There you are.
You do have a situation where you have the same people in charge because the bureaucracy is always in charge, and these are career bureaucrats and they're protected by the unions. And it's very hard to dismiss a career bureaucrat. And one thing I can tell you is if you are one, it's not a particularly easy situation if you have to work on this stuff because it's very confusing as to what your authorities are, what you can do and can't do. So they have to have these types of protections to make sure that they're not being persecuted for political purposes, but also those protections can be abused. But this is why when Obama came in and said, well, I'm going to get rid of Guantanamo, he came in and he instantly commissioned a blue ribbon panel to tell him, you know, the best place to go put Guantanamo Bay. And they ended up asking the same group of people who decided to put it in Guantanamo as last time. And they came up with the exact same answer because it's the same people making the exact same decision. And this is part of that creeping, encroaching Washington solution. You have the same group of people who are essentially being asked questions as to how do you fix this problem, right? Not should we fix this problem. Is your answer constitutional, but how would you go about doing it? You know, and so, okay, well, if you wanted to fix that, you would do it this way, and then they go and act it. Because as we saw during the 2010 debate over Obamacare, nobody cares too much about the Constitution up in Washington. All they want to do is have the solution, have the answer, so that they can go back and they can get reelected because I solved your problem. That's really the issue. It's government without restraint anymore. And the American people are so lost as to what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional, that they just go along with everything. They just want their problem solved so they can get back to Baywatch or, you know, Jersey Shore or playing video games or going to the movies or whatever the heck it is that they want to do with their time. Oh, my problem solved.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I don't care that they're reading all my emails and everything. As long as they keep me safe and as long as I can keep watching TV and as long as they don't tax me too much more, or if Verizon gives me a discount because I'm so fucking broke now because they've devalued the dollar and the economy is complete shit that, you know, I'm lucky if I even have a job anymore, that I don't care how much they spy on me as long as they give me $5 off my cost because I could use that $5, right? I mean, that's how depraved the American people have become.
And you can't have a republic if you don't respect the law. Yeah.
I'll give you all my liberty if you give me $5 off.
Yeah. Sell it cheap. Trade.
I want my Obama phone.
Some shitty pottage. All right, we've got 13 minutes of live show left. I won't be able to bring anybody else on. However, if you want to listen to Tex and Rex after hours, because we're certainly going to go long because this next clip I'm about to play is 8 minutes, but it is worth hearing even though it is on that moronic cheerleader show Hannity, but it is Rand bringing up several very important points that we've been talking about, and I think that he does a very good job of articulating it. He and Ted Cruz are clearly the strongest voices for conservative principles on the Hill, and we need to make sure that we support them as senators, as opposed to wondering what the hell they're going to do in 2016 or whether they're eligible or not. So let's just focus on them being senators and actually doing stuff for you, and let's quit nitpicking about all the stupid little shit that they, quote, seem to be compromising on because they're playing the inside game in Washington, D.C., which is a hellish place, but they're playing the long game, and they're picking and choosing their battles, the ones that count. So if you want to listen to Tex and Rex After Hours now instead of in podcast, 646-649-1013. You can listen on your phone. We'll probably go about 40 minutes past midnight. And here's Rand.
And welcome back to Hannity. An investigation conducted by the AP is now revealing that top Obama appointees are using secret government email accounts. And while most agencies have failed to turn over lists of these emails, the AP has so far identified secret addresses at the Labor Department, at the Department of Health and Human Services, including the private email account of HHS Secretary, and that would be Kathleen Sebelius. Now, earlier today, when asked about this additional account, Sebelius had this to say to Fox News.
There's no secret email account. There's a public email and a private email, and they're all FOIA-able. They're all available.
And what's the point of having a private email?
28,000 emails a month come into the public email. About 400 come into the private email. It's just a management issue. I can't possibly answer or screen all of them, and I want people to get timely answers.
Now, while all of that may sound well and good, based on the administration's history of indifference to the facts, its culture of corruption, how can we take that at face value? Well, we'll leave it to the White House Press Secretary, Jay Carney, to keep all of us questioning, because when he was asked about the White House staff email accounts, he, not surprisingly, just refused to answer. Watch this.
The White House, like Congress, which I'm sure will be part of any story you do on this, is not subject to FOIA. But the point is, well, I'm not going to get into people's individual email addresses.
Here with reaction to that, much more, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Senator, good to see you. Welcome back.
Good to be with you, Sean.
Your reaction to all that?
Well, you know, I've been kind of disappointed because I honestly, there were certain aspects of President Obama that I wanted to like. And I mean this with all sincerity. I mean, I wanted to see a president who was truly liberal, who I couldn't have voted for, but I want to see a good liberal who would defend the First Amendment, who would defend transparency, who wouldn't be targeting the press or targeting political enemies. So really defending the First Amendment, defending the Fourth Amendment, and now we have this whole culture of corruption where we've got these secret email accounts. And I mean, for example, it would be a problem if they're communicating with lobbyists secretly, if they're saying to certain people that might make money off of the health care. This is what brought down Clinton's health care plan in 1994, is they found out the secret meetings involved people who were going to make money off of the reform. So people make money in all ways in government, so that's what we want to know who they're talking to. And it should be open to the public.
Are you saying that he is not defending certain amendments? And if not, specifically, which ones do you think he's not defending?
Well, you know, I think with regard to the First Amendment in particular, because the freedom of the press doesn't always get it right. The press can be on the right or the left or in the middle, but they're searching out news to make the rest of us accountable. And so I think when he targets AP reporters or a Fox News reporter, particularly the way he did it, he didn't go to a judge. He did it in one case, and I think the judge made a grievous error, which shows you that even a judge can make an error, but he did go to a judge. But in the AP case, I think they had issued an administrative subpoena, which is not really a warrant, and they went after these records. I think in neither the Fox case nor the AP case was there any reason to go after the media. If someone is leaking information, if you're in government, go after the leaker. That's the one breaking the law. Printing the news is not breaking a law, and you'll notice they never went after the media, but they did tell the judge that they were treating the Fox News reporter, James Rosen, as complicit. See, this is a danger, because what if they said he was complicit, and I'm not saying he is or anybody, but let's say they say a reporter's complicit to terrorism. Under current day law, you could be sent to Guantanamo Bay without a trial. This is a president who's supposed to be a progressive, defend our civil liberties, who signed a law saying that you could be sent to Guantanamo Bay, an American citizen, without a charge or trial. So I am disappointed in the president, and I think many people on the left are.
Well, let's listen to the president in his own words talking about the importance of FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, and transparency in government. Here's what the promises that he made.
The directives I am giving my administration today on how to interpret the Freedom of Information Act will do just that. For a long time now, there's been too much secrecy in this city. Starting today, every agency and department should know that this administration stands on the side not of those who seek to withhold information, but those who seek to make it known. The Freedom of Information Act is perhaps the most powerful instrument we have for making our government honest and transparent, and of holding it accountable. And I expect members of my administration not simply to live up to the letter, but also the spirit of this law. Going forward, anytime the American people want to know something that I or a former president wants to withhold, we will have to consult with the Attorney General and the White House counsel, whose business it is to ensure compliance with the rule of law. Information will not be withheld just because I say so. Let me say it as simply as I can. Transparency and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
Do you think that these private email accounts live up to that standard, or maybe do you think that they were designed to avoid FOIA requests?
Well, here's the thing. When I hear the president speak and what he just said, if I were sitting in the audience, I would stand up and cheer because what he's saying sounds so great. What he said recently about if an American were targeted for attack, they would get due process. But he thinks due process is him making a decision and not a judge or not a jury. So when he says that, I'm not sure he really means this. And I think what's happening is these constellation of scandals, one after another, Benghazi, the IRS, the reporters that he's targeted, I guess he's losing. And to me, he's losing that moral authority, the moral authority to lead the nation. And even though he sounds so great and I want to believe in what he says, he's losing that believability to the American public.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you, you sort of got in a little bit of a, I guess, conflict with Senator John McCain, and on his recent trip to Syria, there was a photograph taken of him with two men who, according to Beirut news reports, were involved in the kidnapping of a group of people from Lebanon. You're concerned about having involvement in Syria. I share your concerns because it reminds me a little bit of Egypt. What are your concerns here?
Here's my point, and it really wasn't directed so much towards an individual senator. I never mentioned his name. My point is that it's difficult to tell friend from foe. Even if in Afghanistan, which we've been there 10 years, it's much more stable, we have soldiers in the Afghan army who are allies who shoot our soldiers in the back. They'd simply lie. So now we're going to go into Syria, which is a mess, and we're going to be allied with Al-Qaeda fighting the Assad regime, who are bad guys, but we're going to be allied with Al-Qaeda, and we're going to say, are you part of Al-Qaeda? And they're going to say no, and we're going to give them Stinger missiles and man pads and expect that they're telling us the truth. It's hard to vet who your friends are, and I think in Syria there's a great danger you give it to Islamic rebels who are going to be shooting Christians on the other side. I have a problem with it.
All right, real quick, because we're running out of time, on the immigration bill, a lot of conservatives are saying not enough border security. They're not supporting it. Where do you stand on it?
It's got to have more border security to get my vote. I've told them what it would take. I have an amendment, Trust But Verify, that says we write in.
There it is. We've covered a lot there. We're definitely not going to get into all of it because there's not that much time, and we're 3 minutes away from going into overtime. It'll be Tex and Rex after hours. I can't bring any more callers on, but if you want to listen live, call in the next 3 minutes, 646-649-1013. Thank you for listening, and thank you for helping promote the show. We really need you to get this out on Facebook, Twitter, social media, tell people about it, because this information has to be put out there in the proper context, and even though we're just a couple of brown coats with a microphone, the perspective that we're giving you is an authentic conservative perspective that is neither libertarian nor rhino. It is about the Constitution. It is about timeless principles of truth, and it is about rights and duties, which means freedoms and responsibilities that go with them. So we really appreciate it. Please like the Tex and Rex Show Facebook page. That's the Tex and Rex Show on Facebook, and you will get notifications when we are broadcasting, and you'll also see in the comments under the show pick all the articles and clips that we play will be available for you, and you can also join Tex and Rex Liberty Militia on Facebook, and we have all of the clips and articles there as well. If you're in Blog Talk Radio, right under the show graphic there, the icon, there is a follow button. Click follow, and you will get notifications in your Blog Talk Radio profile and affiliated email when we are broadcasting, usually 10 p.m. Eastern Sundays. Under the show graphics that are streaming along there, there's about five of them. There's a link that says download. Right-click on that, you'll get an MP3. You can listen to it in any MP3 device, send it an email, burn a CD, give it to somebody. But the important thing is, whether somebody agrees with you or not, whether they are a libertarian, a conservatarian, a liberaltarian, an actual liberal, a progressive, an Occupy, get this information to them, because all of these disparate groups that have different kind of perspectives actually have more in agreement than we don't. We are all looking for liberty, and the government is looking for tyranny. And we've got to put it back in the box, and that means build coalitions. So I'm going to go ahead and go to Tex first to comment on Rand. Obviously, he covered a lot of stuff that we've already talked about. I just wanted to put his perspective along with ours. And then let's see if we can just get a little bit of insight there into what we think is going to happen here in Syria, because it looks like war is on the table, and the fact is that imperialism abroad engenders tyranny at home. That's exactly how the USSR operated, the Soviet Union operated, and it seems that we are walking down that same path, and it is a very, very dangerous path. So we'll go to Tex and then Chris.
Well, we don't have time really to talk about this tonight. We haven't even gotten into this topic, but he sort of concluded that conversation with the discussion about the immigration bill. And that immigration bill, talk about poison pills. Among other things, you know, we had the Mexican government, among others, most likely, advising on what to put in it, and U.S. law enforcement wasn't being able to advise into the preparation of that bill. I mean, what does that tell you about the quality of that bill? And then, remember, early on when they were raising up Rubio as the next, oh, he's a Tea Party favorite, everybody loves Marco Rubio, he's so great, you know, Rubio goes and associates himself with this thing. Now I can't backpedal far enough away from it. It was always a mistake. So I think this thing really has tarnished the image of Rubio. And, you know, so much for Golden Boy. He's done. And we said that early on, that he was another big government rhino that they were going to throw up there and say, you know, he's the next coming of the Tea Party and of the conservative movement. But really, he was a sellout the whole time. So that's kind of my concluding thoughts.
Yeah, definitely a sellout, and you're right, we've been saying it for a long time. A lot of people gave me some flack about it. I don't know if you got the same flack, but he's a rhino to the core. He's managed, he's easily pliable, and he's just another tool for Rove. The only thing that made him conservative was that he was more conservative than Charlie Crist, who's a friggin' Democrat. I mean, my left shoe is more conservative than Charlie Crist. It's not a fucking accomplishment. So, you know, give me a break and quit buying this crap. And watch it, because in 2013 and 2014, they are going to try to ride a Liberty Movement Tea Party wave into power so that they can govern like corporatist Keynesians all along. Don't buy it. Vet your candidates. Don't give any money to the RNC. Don't give it to the Senate. Don't give it to the House. Donate to candidates only, and make sure that they're actually conservatives like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Justin Amash, Gowdy, Gohmert, you know, vet these guys and run them. And if you've got a rhino, run a real conservative Republican against them. And if you can't do that, you got choices. You got Libertarian Party, you got Constitution Party. Find somebody who believes in the Constitution and get those rhinos out. Let's go to
Chris. Rubio's other problems, I think Karl Rove has said positive things about him. So that right there is a reason to not support him.
That poor Rubio. You know, the Syria thing. Obviously, you know that I've been deep into this, and it started out, my initial question on this thing started out one day when I saw a news article that Israel had launched missiles into a sovereign country and blown up a warehouse in a populated city, Damascus, and I'm like going, what the hell is going on over there? And that started a conversation. I don't know, we're at like 1,200 comments on that one thread and climbing. But, you know, the more work we did, the more research we did, the more conversation we had, the more we started looking things up, you know, it's kind of an ugly situation. And we had no business in there in the first place. You know, when you had 29 rebels, you know, terrorists from 29 countries supported by the U.S., Saudi, and the global elite out of Europe, and not Germany. Germany is not into... You know, they pulled out. They said, we're not going to send these guys any arms. You know, they know who they are. But again, Germany's smart enough to pull their gold from around the world and bring it home. So maybe they're getting a clue. But France and England and the U.S. And it's amazing. But, you know, the more you research that situation, the more you realize that, you know, like, what was the big lesson? And why is this happening? You know, it's not some Arab Spring thing. This is a takeover. This is a hostile takeover of a sovereign nation. So recently, Assad has actually gained back ground. You know, McCain slipped over there in the dark of the night on Memorial Day weekend, you know, to meet with some rebel terrorists. And, you know, trying to convince people that we got to send arms to these guys because Assad's such a terrible situation. Well, you know, Assad's not a great guy. but compared to the people on the ground that are coming from these other countries, he's a prince. So, you know, the more research you do, the more you realize this is just part of that whole seven-country toppling effect that goes back for several presidents now. You know, they want access through there to take control and compete against Russia with their gas lines, their gas and oil, because Russia owns most of the pipelines going into Europe. You know, Russia is the largest exporter of oil in the world. And you look at this stuff and you think, you know, everybody likes to quote these numbers, 70,000, 80,000, 100,000 people dead. You know, it's terrible. We've got to do something. And I'm thinking, you people are causing the deaths of these people for a damn pipeline. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to think that after Iraq and Afghanistan and what we experienced in Egypt and Libya and Tunisia and North Africa and all this crap that's going on and all these bad guys involved in this, you know, true bad guys, and that we're sticking our nose in this thing. You know, it is a sad situation, and be honest with you, after everything that I've read and researched, I hope the hell he wins, because I'm not interested in another Sharia law Islamist takeover of another country. You know, the guy was a secular country. Christians could live there. Muslims could live there. Jews lived there. Everybody lived together. Wasn't a great country, but not bad compared to a lot of them there. And we're tearing that apart, and Christians are being killed. You know, people are scared to death. I mean, a lot of people don't understand this about Syria, but when Iraq blew up and all the, you know, you basically have massive conflict where about 1,100 people dead last month in Iraq, you know, between the Sunni and the Shiite and all the battles and, you know, this never-ending 1,400-year war that we're not going to fix. And you know where the Christians went? They went to Syria because they were safe there. Yeah, and I'm just like going, and you want to get rid of this guy, and you know, it's the same thing when you study Lebanon, and you listen to people like Brigitte and you know, even Issa, you know, his family comes out of there, but you know, you listen to these people, you know, Lebanon was half a Christian nation at one time, you know, and now it's just a hellhole, and it's like, for what? And they keep blaming these deaths on
it's not quite
these
a hellhole.
Rulers.
It's actually doing fairly well, but it's about to become a hellhole because anytime
you
call them Syria or Israel, they get hammered.
Yeah, it's good. It's already erupting in there because you've got, you know, people taking sides. But you know, you look at this thing and it just goes back to this whole conversation about what the hell are we doing around the world and why are we doing it, and we're supposed to trust this government while they tap every keystroke on our internet, our emails, our cell phones, and you can't trust them, you know, to stay out of other people's business for the right reasons. I mean, I don't know of a humanitarian war that we fought. In fact, some of the real humanitarian situations that really could have used our help, we never got involved in. And here we are sticking our nose in other people's countries and getting people killed, you know, to the tunes of, you know, tens of thousands of people. And if you count our last 12 years, millions of people, you know, it's just there's some days you wake up and you go, am I in USA or USSR? I mean, what the hell is going on here, folks? I'm done.
Role reversal. But yeah, it's crazy. And the thing is that this is what people fail to understand, okay, is that the actions of a government overseas have a strong relationship, correlation, and effect on actions domestically. If they think that they can go into whatever country they want, whether we have a national interest or not, spend as much money as we don't have, go into debt into other nations like China and everything else in order to give, you know, monetize the debt of the Federal Reserve to create more money flows to you know, build the war machine and send your young men and women into war zones where they're going to get killed or come back with psychological problems, and 22 veterans are committing suicide every day because the war is hell. But when you're fighting for who is behind you, okay, when you're fighting to defend your homeland, your family, you can get through it. But when you realize that you're over there being used for the financial gain of a few evil bastards, it is psychologically devastating. It is devastating to our national psyche. It is devastating to these poor young men and women we send over there. We are wreaking havoc across populations who you know, we should have a natural affinity with, predominantly the Christians in the Middle East where the faith was born. And instead, we are creating a police state at home under the false pretext that Muslim jihadists are a serious problem within the borders. They're not yet. They might become if you keep going over there. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a problem with Muslim jihadists. We've had a problem with them for 14 centuries, since before the Republic was founded or even the New World was discovered. Okay, that's not going to stop because it is a warped ideology. But the fact is that that can be fought and contained, whether domestically or at home, reasonably. But we do not need to topple secular regimes. Remember, Assad may be a bad guy, but he is a Western-trained ophthalmologist. He is despotic in a sense. But you know what? When the colonial powers drew up these nation-state lines, they slammed a lot of different tribes together, and sometimes they don't get along. They did the same thing in the Balkans, where you had people who were German one day, and the next day they were Czechoslovakia, and they're not even Czechs. So you're going to have these conflicts, and it requires kind of a strong hand to keep things relatively stable. Now, you know, Syria is not a well-run country. It is a dictatorship. If you speak well against the government, ill against the government, the secret police do pick you up. But the simple fact is that people had food, they had medicine. You know, Alawites, Druze, Christians, Jews could go to you know, their worship services without being molested. And so, you know, relatively speaking, that's not a bad situation. Now it's become a hellhole, and we're paying for it. And things are about to escalate. And if you don't let your congressional idiots in the Politburo here in D.C. know that immigration reform starts with securing the border. Foreign defense from abroad starts with not mucking around other people's business. And you need to pressure them to not pass a stupid immigration bill, to not go to war in Syria. We don't need another friggin' war. And you need them to get rid of this NSA, you know, dragnet illegal, you know, why do they listen to every single one of our conversations? Why aren't they actually killing terrorists? They're not killing any terrorists. They're helping the terrorists. Jane McComed went over there and aided and abetted Al-Qaeda. Okay, this is ridiculous, and this is happening on your watch. It is your watch, because this is a republic. You are the sovereign, and it is up to you to make sure that these assholes do what they're supposed to do. When they don't, dispatch them. So you got to quit being such a pussy and sitting on the couch and watching American Idol and actually get to work, because if you don't do anything about it, not because you're comfortable or lazy or watching whatever you want, it's going to fall apart around your ears. What are you going to tell your kids? Chris, you still here? I went off a little bit.
No, I'm here. Randy's still on?
Right. Yeah, Gunny is here. Gunny, you want to chime in while we look for text?
Well, the only thing I want to add before he goes in is we definitely don't need a war with Russia.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to be in there toppling dictators we put in power and spent billions of dollars of our taxpayers' money to prop up these dictators. It's another to go screwing around with Russia's ally. it's
yeah.
Serious. And we've got that thing going on right now in Jordan, you know, trying to flex our muscles and look like we're badasses in a situation. We are depleted, you know, after 12 years of war. We left billions, and you know this, Gunny, you were in the military. We left billions of dollars of equipment and arms and weapons in Iraq and just left. My son was there, you know, twice. You know, he goes, hell, why bring it home? And our equipment's old and worn out. Our men they've lost their enthusiasm. They've lost their patriotism underneath this president and under these false pretenses of war. We don't need to be screwing around with Russia. Russia's made it pretty damn clear that you ain't going to mess with this country. This is a sovereign nation. Let them work it out. Anyway, go ahead, Gunny.
No, absolutely. But I was just thinking, you know, when you talked about the Al-Qaeda issue, I mean, look, we are funding Al-Qaeda around the globe, and yet we, you know, what was the word when we were attacked? We will seek out and destroy Al-Qaeda wherever they exist, and now we're funding them? I mean, come on, we're funding those people who want to kill us. We are giving them arms. We're giving them money. It's absolutely insane and ridiculous. And you mentioned, you know, the whole thing. I mean, we put Saddam Hussein in place, and then, you know, had the adults say, oh, well, they got an evil dictator. We got to take him out. We put him there. You know, it's just this insane global foreign policy that we have is just absolutely out of the realms of any form of sanity. And why we put up with it, continue to put up with it, why Americans keep voting for the same old garbage is way beyond me.
Yep. Hey, Gunny, I've got a little digital breakup on your line there, so you want to give us a final thought before I let you go, and then Chris and I will bring this home. Tex is a victim of Blog Talk Radio shoestring technology, so he won't be joining us.
I probably should have just called in. I actually logged in the other way. But, hey, gentlemen, I'm honored to be associated with fine Americans and patriots such as yourself. And, of course, when you're labeled a patriot, you are listed in the Department of Homeland Security's lexicon of extremists. So you're amongst good company, and I consider it an honor to be such. And so, hey, just God bless you all. And, hey, I've just been busy doing my thing, you know, trying to save the country through the Constitution Party. So just keep doing what you're doing, brothers, and we'll fight together.
All right, buddy. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, Randy, for calling in, and keep up the fight.
Indeed. Good night, gentlemen.
Night.
All right, Chris.
Well,
this is a bigger topic than we got time for, but I just definitely wanted to hit on it because I, you know, have some suspicion that next time we have a radio show, we won't be talking about the coming war in Syria. We will be talking about the one that we're already involved in.
Yeah, I remember lighting this up, you know, posting that first post. A lot of it was a question, you know, because it just blew me away. I was thinking like, you know, how can one country fire rockets into another country and not be an act of war? It was just kind of an innocent question. And, man, did we uncover a Leviathan here. This is not a good situation. I just don't think people understand this. You know, I think one of the mistakes, and you brought it up earlier, the mistakes that Americans make, and I did for many years of my life because I grew up in the Cold War. You know, USSR is gone. Well, not gone. It's kind of moved west. But, you know,
Russia Federation.
It's been rebuilding this country. You know, it's restoring Christianity throughout the land. You know, it's getting back its national pride. It's the largest exporter of oil. I'm not sure about gas, but I know oil for sure. You know, they're making inroads, and they're a major player in Europe and Eastern Europe. Now, they pretty much have stayed out of the Middle East except for, you know, their strategic relationships, oil and gas, and China also, people seem to forget this, but China gets like 40% of their of the oil that comes out of Iran. We're playing games. You know, we've taken over, the U.S. has taken over a lot of the Middle East, you know, through the years, and influence and money and causing wars and you know, and backing terrorists, whatever the hell we're doing over there. But we're on that northern end up there. When you start messing around with Syria and Iran, you're not messing around with Syria and Iran. You're messing around with China and Russia. And this isn't just some despot dictators that we put in place, you know, and have been funded. I think that people really need to do the research and understand this because, you know, Russia's got, I don't know, what, 15 naval vessels in there and, you know, are totally prepared to defend their ally. And we're in Jordan, you know, with Saudi. I just can't – there are days – I mean, Newt was the only guy that said we need to quit bowing to Saudi kings. I mean, there's so many people don't understand that relationship that we have with Saudi Arabia, how detrimental that is to our country, our national security, you know, terrorists, al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood. They just don't get it. There are days that I'm thinking, like, I mean, are people – you need to do the research and you need to understand what's going on in these countries. And people, a lot of times people are just sick of the Middle East, and trust me, I am too. But for some reason, we just seem to keep wanting to escalate some issue over there, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. So you need to educate yourself on this stuff. Anyway, that's just my input on that, you know, the tail end of it. We could talk about the whole Syria. You know, the Syria thing is so much bigger than just Syria.
Oh, of course it is. I mean, the target there is Iran.
It's about resources. It's another banker war. We have no legitimate viable interest there, and what we're actually doing is damaging the Christian minority, which is something that the United States would never do.
Created situations that have caused so much death of Christians in this world is just mind-boggling to me, and nobody talks about it.
No, because we have to, you know, keep up appearances. We have the appearances of the American Republic. We have the appearance of a constitutional republic. We've still got our flags and our ball games and our talk of civil liberties and religious freedom, but the fact is that these things have been stripped away so far. And the problem with the international thing, especially this war we're mucking around with Syria supporting Al-Qaeda against the legitimate regime, whether we like it or not, is irrelevant. Ally of Russia, and you know, the Jabhat al-Nusra, which is just an Al-Qaeda front, and getting Christians killed, it's just sheer insanity. But again, it's a very powerful tool. And as Tex brought up earlier, he was talking about the whole 1984 Brave New World model. In 1984, Oceania, which Airstrip 1, which is ostensibly England, was always at war with either East Asia or Eurasia. Perpetual war for perpetual peace. Why? Well, for two reasons. One, it is a way of plundering resources overseas. Two, when you're financing all sides, there's usually more than two sides, all sides in a conflict, you're making money hand over fist, and this is not our government making money. This is a few well-connected trans-global defense contractors making shitloads of money financing all sides in the conflict. You blow shit up, and then you rebuild it. And so it's an extension of the broken window fallacy that somehow there's progress because you rebuild stuff that you paid to blow up. It is sheer insanity. But the reason that it's happening is because when they create the emergency situation, the war, right, then they expect you to start giving up things in order to get whole, you know, patriotic, okay, except it's not patriotism, it's nationalism. And there is a difference. Patriotism is love of your country. Nationalism is my country right or wrong. And you know what? Sometimes your country's wrong. And maybe your country's not wrong, but this government sure is. And so you get people to go into more of a compliant fear mode with a war situation overseas, which engenders a police state at home, especially when both of these things occur because you do not have an active, mandatory citizen militia in this country. So you've got a standing army that has to be sent somewhere to break some shit up and build some more shit, okay? And then you've got the rising police state because you don't have your own security through the militias. So that's the dynamic that's playing out, and what will happen is people get all rah-rah-rah about the next war, and they will start forgetting about things like the fact that definitely your Secretary of State, possibly your president, allowed four Americans to be killed in order to cover up the impetus for this war, sending arms illegally over there to arm terrorists. You'll forget about the fact that the free press is really not free. Not only do they have a liberal bent, but they're apparently also being monitored by the government. Okay, you'll forget about the fact that the IRS is harassing Americans, that the IRS is an illegal institution, and you'll start tinkering around things like, you know, flat tax, fair tax, whatever, you know, as opposed to no tax. Oh, well, you have to pay taxes. There's ways to collect taxes. We did it for 124 years without an income tax in this country. We can do it again. We can certainly find creative, non-intrusive ways to do it. So it's not an issue of does the government have a right to tax or does it need tax revenue. It's what kind. Getting rid of the Federal Reserve. We'll stop talking about that because, you know, the dollar's doing well. No, it's not. The dollar's just tanking less than the yen. And today, apparently, the Nikkei is already up. So, you know, we're inflating asset values and pumping money at an unprecedented rate. Well, things are going to come crashing down as they're plundering resources, putting you in another war. So is it Brave New World or is it 1984? It's a little bit of both. And instead of being overwhelmed by all these things, instead of finding fear in all of these things, realize this is the last desperate measures of a dying tyranny. Now, it'll either collapse into chaos and you'll end up with people clamoring to go to the strong man and ask him to alleviate their distress, or you can wake people up. We have the form. We have the means. We have the methods. The Founding Fathers have laid it all out for us. The power is at our disposal. We're just not using it. We're like dumb children who have been given all this power and authority and responsibility, but we're just too clumsy to use it. Learn to use the power that you have again. It's your God-given right. You have a duty to your country and your fellow patriots. You have the means in the Constitution. to restore all this stuff, but only if you're courageous and only if you stop infighting and nitpicking about the smallest little differences and start realizing that if you want to live your life as you ought, you need government to do less, not more. It has a few functions that are necessary, and we should definitely fund those, and it has a million functions that it has overstepped its bounds, and you've got to put it back in the box. And that's what this coming war in Syria is about, which may start before our next show in earnest. I mean, we're already got spec ops guys over there. We've already got the presence in Jordan, and we've been funneling weapons there through Libya and Benghazi since the four Americans were killed in that debacle that was caused by the incompetence of Obama in the White House. So support those conservatives that are getting us back to where we are, and realize you don't have to fall for this lie, because communism, are we the USSR? Are we the U.S.? Have we fallen into communism already? Have they put in all 10 planks? Communism is far more than a governmental or economic system. Communism is a cultural mindset. It is a psychological conditioning. And it is only going to happen if you comply with it, or you accept it, or you say, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong, so it's okay if the NSA collects all of my data. Okay? That's communism. And it is not a socialist proletarian paradise. It is a corporatist-controlled police state. So what you need to do is shake off the shackles of communism, because we don't have to be the USSR. We can be the USA. We can be a land of multiple different religions and ideas and lifestyles, provided we have a common culture. And that common culture is we respect the natural law as it is codified in the Declaration of Independence, and we respect the Republican, small r, Republican rule of law, and no one, including the president, his cabinet, and everybody else, is above the law that is encoded in the U.S. Constitution. But those two documents mean nothing if you don't have those principles in your heart, and if you don't exercise your rights and your duties to uphold them. And that's what this is about. So we've covered a lot of stuff tonight. We'll be back next week. But, Chris, you want to throw anything out there finally before we wrap it up?
Yeah, you know, I think that was beautiful, actually, what you just said. That was very well put together, and it's very important. I think that the thing that rings in my mind, I remember Glenn Beck was talking about this when he did his NRA speech, which is definitely worth listening to. You know, he talked about, you know, everybody's talking about rights, 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 rights. And what we need to do is we need to start talking about responsibilities. You know, I grew up, why this stuff is so simple to me is we just never expected anybody else to do anything for us. That was the way I was raised. You took care of yourself. You took care of your family. You know, when you fell down, you got back up. You know, you made changes in your life. And that just, they're just stripping that out of our society. And the last couple generations are a classic example of that. The whole gimme, 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 and I need constant stimulation in my life and the whole perversion that goes along with it. You know, we just don't have those basic fundamental things that I was raised with. And, you know, it doesn't mean we were all perfect, because we weren't. But those core values are what makes America great. You know, those natural law, you know, the Judeo-Christian, you know, principles that were established in our society. You know, it just seems like you strip that out of society, you pervert everything, you get everybody fighting everybody blaming everybody else, and everybody looking at the government for the solutions. That's all you need right there. There's your formula right there for a totalitarian society. It's that simple. It's nothing complex here. You don't have to be freaked out by it. And it's important, but it's important that word responsibility is important. You have to do the research. You have to do the study. You know, join Coalition of Freedom. We have very deep conversations. We don't just, post the news of the day. We pick specific topics, and we go to war. I mean, you look at the Syria thread. That's almost 1,200 comment long now, because we're in there to figure it out. We're not in there necessarily, and none of us had the answer in the beginning. You know, it started with a question. You know, I open that thread. And then we research and we all add to it. We have conversations and disagreements and agreements and, you know, and that's what it's all about. And sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself or to Rex, to you, you know, because, you know, we stay on things that we believe are important, you know, and you got to get your mind out of the news of the day. There's a lot of news of the day right now. But I think it was very, and I don't remember who said this, one of the clips or whatever. It was the guy, the whistleblower. He said, my biggest fear is that we will let this go by and we won't change it. You know, we won't do something about it. And that, I think, is one of the biggest problems in our society today, is that we're so overwhelmed by all these dynamics that we forgot that we have the power. You know, you're an individual sovereign city. Citizen city. Wish I was a city. And that's what's important here. You know, and I think that's what that guy is sitting there in Hong Kong, doesn't know if he's going to live or die or be snuck away in rendition in the middle of the night.
I don't think
they're
going to kill Snowden.
But he has exposed anything I don't think anybody, the rest of us, didn't already know was kind of happening anyway. But he really put a stamp on it. And when he did his interview, and that was posted today, he made it real. You know, he's not some crazy, you know, left. Yeah, and it was just this is going to be big. And it isn't going to be big because it's him. It's going to be big depending on how the American people respond to it. That's what's going to make this a big story. Anyway,
that's
go ahead.
Right. No, you got it. We got it. Now we're 30 minutes in overtime, so this has turned into a 2.5-hour show. I think we've covered, you know, 12 hours worth of information. But, you know, for a couple of brown coats, we can steal from Han Solo and we can get the Kessel Run done in under 12 parsecs. but the fact is that this is an important distinction to make, that the government tyranny, whether it is a masculine, jackbooted 1984 or soft, effeminate, drug-induced Brave New World, is only possible if you allow it to happen. They have to have your consent. Who are you? Whose consent? How do you give them your consent? You can give them your consent by doing nothing. You can give them your consent by plugging into the idiot box. These days, smart TVs are probably watching you as you watch the TV, facial recognition, figuring out how dumb you really are and what dumb shows you watch, and figure out, oh, this one's not a threat. Okay? You can focus more intently on the latest stats of your favorite sports team and where they are in the championship, as opposed to knowing what the hell's really going on with your country that matters. You can pick your little pet peeve issue, which, you know, really doesn't make much of a friggin' difference. I mean, you know, you got to prioritize things. If you really think that smoking pot or engaging in sexual perversions is more important than, religious freedom, the right to keep your weapons, freedom of the press and the speech, you got a serious problem, okay? Now, you know, incrementally we can deal with all these other issues later in open debate, but this is an existential threat. You're about to engage in a war overseas that we really don't want to be in. And if you thought that Afghanistan was bad or Iraq was bad, you have no idea how bad this one's going to be. This one's going to be the worst disaster. Remember, Iraq and Afghanistan, we went in there, we did whatever the hell we were going to do. No one else was there. This time, you're going to be playing proxy war with Russia, the former Soviet Union, and China. This is not a good game to be playing. Number one, our forces spread too thin. Number two, we owe them money and they could crash our dollar overnight. And number three, we don't need to be dicking around in places where we don't know, who's friend or foe. And Senator Jane McComed can't identify that he's hanging out with kidnapping terrorists, but he thinks he can funnel weapons to the good guys. What the fuck are the good guys? Give me a break, okay? But this is only the other way you can give your consent is by working for these people, either by complying with every draconian rule that they have without complaint or trying to resist, or maybe you work for a defense contractor, the NSA, maybe you're in the military. These are all fine things, and most of the people in these professions in this police state are actually good people trying to defend things, but that's why they keep you uninformed. And this guy said it. Snowden said, you know, someone might see something suspicious once or twice in their career, and they're told to look it over, and that's kind of easy to do. But he got to see the whole honeycomb, and he was like, holy shit, this is bad. Now remember something, the NSA has been around for a long time. There is no such agency. And it was involved in the Gulf of Tonkin, which was the pretext for Vietnam. It was involved in the USS Liberty strike, where we lost 34 Americans and another 178 were injured, striked by the Israeli IDF using jets that we gave them. They've been involved in a lot of shady shit over the years. But that doesn't mean that everybody works for the NSA is bad. Doesn't mean that everybody works for the FBI is bad. Doesn't mean that every cop is bad. Okay, if you go with that attitude, then you're being played. You're part of the pressure from below, shirking off all authority. Government is not inherently bad. It is an inherent good for the common good. Security is not inherently bad. It is not necessarily a threat to liberty. Our institutions, our mediating institutions, our federal structure, our government, our security forces, our police, sheriffs more appropriately than police, our military, these are all good things, and there's a lot of good people in there. Reach out to those people and tell them when they ask you to turn on us, refuse to comply. They don't have to comply because of some statutory bullshit with an immoral and dangerous thing, okay? We are all in this together against a structure that has been built over the last 100 years to turn us into the USSR. We don't have to put up with it. We can stop it. And in fact, all of this desperate measures that you see right now and all these crazy scandals and wars and inflating of the dollar and all this stuff, these are desperate measures because they are losing. So wake other people up. Get them involved. Do something. Revitalize the Second Amendment. Set up a local citizens group which is going to get your legislatures to bring back the well-regulated militia. Get involved in the ballot access rules so that we can open those up and actually have some free and fair elections instead of just, you know, the jackass on the right and the elephant, the jackass on the left and the elephant on the right. Do something. And most importantly, realize that as long as you're overly entertained, hedonistic, thinking with, you know, your genitals, worried about, you know, your status or your retirement plan and all this other crap, instead of worrying about the very structure of the republic, all of that stuff's straw. It's gone. You're going to lose every bit of it. I don't care how much you got, you're going to lose it all. You're going to lose your ability to do the things that you want to do, you know, run your business, go to work. You're going to lose your ability to do all this stuff in a kind of soft, despotic tyranny. You shrug your shoulders. So the generations from now, they can look back and say, yeah, those are the assholes that finally lost the republic. Or do you want generations from now to go back and say, you know what? Those are the brave people who stood up when things were bad. They stopped tyranny in its tracks. They restored the republic, vitalized the militia of the several states. They gave us back our constitution, and we're living free today because of what they did back then. That's your legacy. And that can't be taxed away by an estate tax. So go to our Facebook page, go to our group, get on Coalition of Freedom, get involved, get other people involved, reach out to them personally. You don't have to agree about everything, but agree about basic things. We are not the Soviet Union. We are not a communist country. Stop thinking like a communist serf and start thinking like a proud and free American. And take back what rightfully belongs to you. This is Texan Rex, signing off.
And the flames of liberty never die.
Let me USSR.
Intelligence, are you mad? A lot's happened since you were frozen. The Cold War's over.
Well, finally those capitalist pigs will pay for their crimes, eh? Hey, comrade? Hey?
Austin, we won.
Oh, groovy, smashing. Yay, capitalism. Hello.